an emergency. You can't have additions for
an emergency meeting.
Okay. So, review the RFP with Matt Young, Accent Consulting.
So, what I wanted to do today is, and I hope this is, you guys will be able to see this, but I want to do this in two parts. I'm gonna give you like an overall walkthrough of what the RFP looks like, and then I want to drill into the details of each project to make sure that I've got it correct, and that you guys are all in agreement of, hey, this is the scope of work, this is how many linear foot of things that we want repaired. This is what we want as far as the results from the repairs. And I just received bids. Yesterday was a bid day for Town of Stratford. So they received two bids. I was expecting three. The third guy, for some reason, I don't know why he didn't submit. And one of the things as I was going through the due diligence, because I would do the same thing for you guys, I go through and make sure that, the bids are complete, there's no gaps, and there's other things that are open, was that for Stratford, I didn't ask them to separate, break out the permit and design cost versus the actual construction cost. And I just asked for a lump sum for the overall cost, for each project. And I bring this up because I'm wondering if there's a value to you guys to know what that design permitting cost is, because that could be a different grant pursuit, or does that not matter to you guys? Because design permit is more like administration type stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not the bricks and mortars part of the cost.
Matt, all of our funding is going to be FEMA reimbursement, and initially it's tied to whatever we can get a loan. And so most of the grants, if we're getting, if we get a FEMA reimbursement, we're not going to be able to use any grants. I mean, most of the grants are precluded. I mean, they're separate, completely separate pots of money. And because our projects are covered under specific disaster declarations, all of that funding. There may be a few areas, but it's going to be chump change.
And FEMA doesn't care. They don't separate out the administration oversight costs.
They do.
Federal
contracting rate rules, because FEMA is following federal contracting rules, which has a some cap. I'd have to look it up. And I think it's pretty much the same as everywhere, it's 7%.
Didn't FEMA tell us not to combine?
Right. Yeah.
Grants.
So we grants. I mean, we may on the backside find something that is not covered, because there are some things that, every time I get a new. That's separate. But to answer your question, this is a FEMA reimbursed through the disaster declaration.
Okay.
But we do want to know what those costs are.
So there is value.
There are federal caps.
Okay, so there is value for you to know what the design and permitting phase is then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then I'll ask them to break that out. So let me get this projected up there.
And how that works out, we'll find out when we get there.
Yep. Right.
Every time, it's like every week. Oh, you need to do this now.
Oh.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know.
They feed us a little bit at a time so we don't get overwhelmed, and that's good. But on the other hand, it's just this constant. But, having gone through the procurement regs, the federal contracting regs, that is something we will have to cover.
Okay.
shades on them too?
No, that side doesn't.
There's no shades on the sunny side of the
fence. I know. So that's why I was wondering if we better just project it on that side or on the dark corner, but you guys want to try this from here?
Are you going to read through it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boy, it's hard to move.
I know. Yeah. So it's up to you. You want? We can try to move it over there if you want.
Do you have a way of printing that out? I can give them a paper copy.
Yeah, I could.
Let's take this corner.
Yeah. The only reason I don't have a hard copy is because this is like still a work in progress.
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I can't fucking read it in myself.
Kirby 2024 Flood Road Repairs, Design Build, RFP, RFQ, dated 3/19/2025. And I think I explained to you before why I call it an RFP, RFQ. So you're basically looking for two things from the bidders. You're looking for a proposal from them, and you're also looking for qualifications from them. That way, we're kind of skipping that extra step. A lot of times what happens in the construction industry is they will, we'll do the RFQ first, and you shortlist the bidders. So you can have like 10 interested parties that want to participate in the project, and then you pre-qualify maybe four or five out of that. And then you only accept the bids from those four or five, because you know that they're financially viable, they can handle a project of this size, you know, they've been in the business, they have the experience, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, by doing this also gives you the opportunity to have more judgment in who you want to work with based on not only their numbers, but based on their qualifications. Mm-hmm. So in the background, I say the town of Kirby has retained services of Matt Young of Ascent Consulting LLC as their municipal project manager to assist with the pre-construction phase of the design build RP RFQ road repair projects. The purpose of this phase is to select a design build contractor to make road, bridge, and culvert repairs affected by the July 2024 flood. The majority of the project costs will be reimbursed by FEMA with state and local funding. This project will be procured through the design build process. This would require that the prime contractor is responsible for engineering the project solution in accordance with local, state, and federal standards and codes. And as we go on, it'll get more in depth of, you know, what they need to adhere to for their design.
Matt, can we add federal standards and codes, make that, I mean, local, state standards and codes and federal contracting laws? Is it
federal standards?
Yeah, I hear you, but, you know, we get to the other end, contracting laws.
Federal contracting
law.
Law.
Yeah, Part 200. I mean, it gets pretty specific.
Yeah. That's their FAR.
Yeah. So anyway.
Okay. And this is just a top summary.
Right.
It's not right, really getting
exactly.
Detail yet.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
And then I go on to the schedule. So the plan is to post design build RFP by March 19th, which is the next Thursday, Friday, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then there will be a pre-bid meeting, and I usually call this a mandatory pre-bid meeting, by March 31st at 10 a.m., and it will be held here. And then from the result of that, typically there's going to be questions or clarifications that need to be made, or I might end up finding other, there might have been some things in my RFQ that I caught that I should, you know, that we need, you know, make corrections for. So, but you want to have a close date when RFIs are done. And then we initiate a date when the addendum will be issued, which will be by April 16th. And the bid date right now is targeted for April 23rd at 4 p.m. And bid award 5/21 and start work of spring of 2025. That's anticipated.
That long a span between date and award?
Yeah, well, it's entirely up to you.
I do that
because sometimes it has to coincide. It depends on, here's the my biggest hang up sometimes is that I don't know how many bids you're going to receive. Mm-hmm. And let's say if you receive four bids and you have two bidders that are pretty much, they seem to be the most competitive. I'll spend my time with those first two first, and just to do the due diligence, make sure that that their scope is correct, if they understand the project and the sequencing and all that stuff. I don't really spend the time on the other number three and four,
okay,
because
so that time period is for you to
yes, but
oversee
then,
or to look into everything so that
yep.
If date comes, everybody's on the same page and everybody meets
yes.
Us.
And also gives you time as a select board member, because I'm gonna present my results to you, and I'll give you my recommendations, but I'm not gonna make the decision. That decision's
correct.
Up to you.
Correct.
And then you're gonna ask me a lot of questions. You're gonna, you know, point to questions. So, by all means, I could accelerate that time frame. That's entirely up to you.
Nothing's gonna get done as far as work. You're in mud season anyway,
right.
So
yeah.
It'll give us a little bit of time to look at the bids and
yeah,
really go over them.
Sooner we get a chance to
award
the thing. I mean,
yeah, they're gonna have to bid. What we choose from 4/23 to 5/21, they're gonna be bid at the job anyway.
The other reason I kind of give it a bigger gap is because we got a lot of coordination to do with FEMA too during this time frame.
Oh, okay.
Because you do not want to award this until you've got the
okay.
Backstop financially.
Okay. I
you're, yeah, that's all part of it. So,
okay.
Yeah, so there's going to be that, and I added the extra time because I know it's going to be a while,
yeah.
And it may actually take longer than that. So don't be surprised if they may drag into June before you get a response from FEMA, basically saying yes, you know, yes or no on the
okay.
The project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but no,
yeah, we might know. I mean, I'm turning in damage inventory this week.
Okay.
So we will have, I mean, so from the Thursday the 13th, We will be thrashing through that for probably a month. I mean, but the damage inventory has to be done by the 22nd. But then there'll be the back and forth on some details for the following month through 13 April. I will note, Matt, that we had put an RFP out earlier in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We have at least a dozen bidders that worked on it last going into Christmas.
Yep.
How many of those have already, you know, they've closed out their contract schedule for the summer? Don't know, but there are a lot of contractors, big contractors across Vermont that have seen this job. They've seen the scope of work that has to be done, and they've actually been out and looked at the site. So,
okay, well that's good. I mean, you're a step ahead than most projects are as far as like getting the marketplace, understanding the project and what it's going to entail.
Yeah, the question we don't know is how many of them have already filled their schedule.
Right, and there's also market fatigue too out there. So if the contractors constantly see this project coming up and up, nothing, there's no result in it, they're going to basically think that, you know, these guys don't know what they're doing. They're not serious about it. I can't waste my time, you know, because I've got other projects.
So that bid award, when we bid that job on 5/21, we give the guy the job. How long do we have from that date to get the job, all this work done?
Well, we have 18 months.
After that date or prior to that date?
We have 18 months by FEMA regulation from the point of the disaster declaration. However, we can extend that by up to 30 months.
So
30 months from September 2024, or 48 months from September 24 is the max we can go, but based on the conversations with the public assistance officer at state, that should not be a problem. The real issue is we're paying on a loan.
Right, so is there going to, maybe I'm jumping ahead of you, but will there be an end date for the work?
Nope. They're going to tell you the end date.
They're going to tell me the end
yes.
date.
Yes. I'll show you that on the bid form.
Now, let's say we award a bidder for $3 million.
Yep.
And all of a sudden we're down to $2 million that we can be awarded for money.
Yep.
How is that going to affect this guy if he bid $3 million?
You'll see the bid form.
You'll
see the different options on the bid form. That's when you need to choose and pick what's priority.
Right.
And I've made that, there's a language in there that gives you that flexibility as a town to pick and choose.
Okay.
So, but that's a good point. So the 5/21 is not an exact date, but it kind of gives the bidder, and sometimes I use the word anticipated, date. That's to kind of give you a little fluff, but it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, for me, when I have a date, I really drive to meet those dates or try to be earlier on my end. And then, because that, what that projects to the bidding market is that these guys are organized, they stay on schedule, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how I perform and how you guys are all do it, it affects the end results. It really does. Okay. Any more questions on the schedule? Is there anything that you would like me to modify or change on this?
No, I'm good.
All good.
Okay. Under the instructions of bidders, I say the town will only accept bids via email. Have your bid form in a PDF format. Ensure the file size has been reduced. All bids will be due no later than bid date. Late bids will not be accepted. Email bids to Matt Young, here's my email address, and Aaron Batoyne, there's her email address. Make a note on the subject line, Kirby FEMA Road Repairs Bid. There will not be a public bid opening. The owner reserves the right to award the project in the best interest of the owner and on best value. The owner also has the right to waive or correct any irregularities in their best interest. So there's a lot of language in there to allow you guys, you know, some flexibility in that. I know that you guys didn't originally accept, you know, email bids, but this practice is quite acceptable to a lot of municipalities, just as long as it's going to two different sources. And it also makes it a lot easier for the bidders on their end, because you know what like bid day is like, it's like hectic on bid day, especially when you have five projects bidding on one day. And for them to have to go, I mean, the old school way is everyone has to run over to the town hall, make sure they submit their bids, you know, by that time frame. It's a lot of work, mm-hmm. especially when there's no cell coverage here. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
I have a question.
Yes.
If there's no public bid opening, are these bids just being emailed to a select board?
It's emailed to whoever you want to email to, but I typically do it to the town clerk or to a select board member. It's up to you who gets to. But yes.
Well, they shouldn't see them before the bid close, right? So they should come to me and you.
That's why you normally do the town clerk, because you're a sworn in officer of, you know, of the town government. And then it comes to me also, because I'm your backstop. So if there's...
So after the deadline, yep. Do they get them by email?
After the deadline, it's up to you. You can submit it, but you can submit it to the select board, but there's nothing they can really do at this point until I do my due diligence. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all the bids. I have a spreadsheet that I pre-make out, and then that has all the different scopes and make sure that everyone is done correctly. You got to level, basically you're leveling everybody out. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got to spend time on the phone, or I spend time face-to-face with them and just say, walk me through your sequence. Because you're going to find that some companies are sophisticated and they'll give you a lot of information. Some companies, it's like something on the napkin, you know, and you don't know. I basically say, what am I buying? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Correct.
You know, am I buying, you know, 20 truckloads of number threes and number fours for Armor Mat, or did you figure two truckloads? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see how each bidder approached the project. Mm-hmm. And you'll see all those notes on that spreadsheet, on the bid analysis. And that's why it takes a couple of weeks to kind of go through that. And then I'll sit down with you guys as a select board. That's when the select board, it's up to you guys, you know, and I don't know if you guys have sometimes the towns will have a procurement ordinance. And so I'm doing this without knowledge if you guys have specific purchasing.
Yeah, there's a standard purchase procedure in the town.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cover these kinds of projects very well, I don't think.
Okay.
You know, because now we're talking
scale
is beyond what we're normally used to.
Okay.
I mean, it's in there, but it's not, it's in there. It's pretty standard, right?
So we have
purchase process.
Does it say that all bids have to be publicly read bids, public, you know, or does it?
I'm not sure, but if they're open at a select board meeting, it would be a public meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only way that the select board could get them without it being a public meeting really is if they were individually emailed to them.
Well, what is it called when you have the closed select board? They've gone to
executive session.
You can do that for negotiations, but I don't think for bids.
Right, which means that once they come into Aaron can't disseminate them.
Right. She can just hold on to them. Let me do my due diligence.
Yep.
And then we meet with us. I meet with you guys, and then at that time it could be disseminated. But what I recommend, and I just went through this with the town of Jericho, is that if you may need to go to executive session, and you should, if you're talking about the details of the contractor that's being recommended to be bid, because I think for the sake of all the other contractors too, is that typically they're not wanting to have all their details also out to the competitors. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm.
And it's to kind of honor and respect that part of it too.
Yeah.
But the main thing is make sure you guys are okay, how the bids are being received, mm-hmm. And if there's not any questions on that, you good with that? Good. Item two is there will be a mandatory pre-bid meeting at the Kern Garage at 10 a.m. And we can change that. You guys can do whatever you want on that. And I say email name and contact of those who will be attending from your firm by the end of day prior to meeting day. Subcontractors are not required to attend, but are more than welcome to join. What you really want to do is make sure that prime contractors show up. And then you get your email, because then what I do is I use that contact to send them the addendum, because then I know that they are the interested bidders on the project, and I want to make sure that they get the addendum. Item three, all questions regarding this project must be directed to Matt Young and Mike Bickford, Road Commissioner. And then give the email right there. Do not correspond with town employees or town board members regarding this bid, otherwise you may be disqualified. Bidder RFIs are due no later than date noted via email. All RFI questions and answers will be shared with all bidders in the form of an addendum. This document and any addenda will become part of final construction contract. So Mike, it's up to you. What I like to do is they can direct the questions to me, but I always want somebody besides me is being copied. That way we have some transparency.
Right.
And so it's up to you how, if you want to be, I can.
I will direct the questions to you, and then if you have a question, you can contact me.
Okay.
I'd rather have that way.
Okay, and I'll say, and copy.
And we essentially followed this process in November, December last year. And we realized we weren't able to be project managers.
Yeah, and Mike Bickford being on the board, and it says...
All three selectmen should be...
It says... Do not correspond with town employees or town board members, and he is a board member.
Okay. Well, that's a good point. I typically have copied to usually either the highway foreman or the public works director.
Yeah.
They're non-select board members.
Yeah, yeah.
So you bring up a good point.
In our town, the road commissioner is the
select board member. Okay.
Yeah.
And our road foreman doesn't do email, right, John?
What we could do this is I could just put Erin's name on there that she gets copied, and then when I get the questions, I know there's questions I can't answer. I'll just come to Mike to get them answered.
Can I correspond with my other two board members?
You can correspond with whoever you'd like.
Okay. For the RFIs. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or rephrase that second sentence instead of saying do not correspond, say outside of these questions don't correspond or something along those lines.
That's just standard boilerplate, I don't think.
Okay. So do you want me to take Mike out of here and put Aaron in there?
Yeah, and then Aaron, you can just correspond. No, you don't want them?
She has no choice.
This is just so that it's a transparency process so that
okay.
It's not just Matt Young. You don't have to do anything. You basically are getting a copy. That way, it's ensured that I'm not playing favoritism from any contractors, and that all the contractors' questions will be answered.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Make sure we don't lose anybody.
Right.
Just like what we did last fall. It's no different from what we did in November. So.
I'll make that change. I'll finish that up later. Okay. All right. The successful bidder will enter a contract with the town of Kirby using a design build contract. I purposely did not name the type of the contract I normally do, because I I'm a firm believer in using a consensus doc contract, and which would be a consensus doc 205. I don't know if you guys have your own set of contracts that you want to use, but a design build contract is completely different than a construction contract. And you got it. You need to cover your ass on this one, because that's why I like design build contracts that are specifically meant, you know, to protect your interest. What you don't want to happen is that construction could be all done hunky dory, but you find out 5 years down the road that the design was actually faulty. So you want to. But anyway, it's up to you. I work for you guys, but that's my recommendation.
Our typical town contract is very copy-paste off like Vermont League of Cities and Towns. It's not specific. So
right.
I would suggest we don't use our normal contract.
Matt, we need to use what will cover us.
Okay.
So we got into this last fall and we weren't sure what we were doing. So your best recommendation here to make sure that we've got all the I's dotted, the T's crossed, so that we get every penny back that we can from FEMA.
Okay. So then what I'm going to do is I'm going to spell out it's called consensus doc 205, it's going to be a different number. I forget what number it is, but it'll be a true design build contract. And I like spelling it out on here because it's the responsibility of the bidders is to look at that contract while they're bidding it. Because it can't be, what I don't want, and I've seen this happen, is that we award them the project, and they didn't realize the language of the actual contract, you know, and so you don't want to give them an opportunity to walk out. Mm-hmm. And so this is why it's important to really kind of spell out everything as much as you can up front to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. So I will insert what the actual contract is.
And that's a standard employed across the building construction
yes.
world.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's another standard which is called an AIA, and that's typically used in the building construction world, you know, like built vertical structures. But the reason I don't like that is because AIA is established by the architects and the design team. I'm like, why in the world would you want to use a contract that benefits the design team? I want a contract that benefits you as the owner, and that's why I like the consensus doc, because it better protects the owner than the AIA does. Okay. Item 5, the cost of preparation for this bid will be sole responsibility of the bidder. Bidders are responsible for their own printing costs. You don't want to, I mean, today's technology, a lot of people, I mean, I do everything digitally anyway. I don't carry plans anymore. But it forces them. They want hard prints, and that's their dime. This is the part. The owner may, in their sole discretion, award multiple projects to a single bidder, or multiple bidders may be awarded a single project.
Okay.
So the owner may, in discretion, award multiple projects to a single bidder, or multiple bidders may be awarded.
That's not
multiple projects.
No, multiple. You can have multiple bidders. It can be awarded just one project. That's what I'm trying to say.
So the downtown hall road corner can award the widening of the road to one person plus the embankment and the bridge and the stream above it to another bidder.
Yes.
And that's all one project.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with the first part of it, but how do we deal with multiple bidders be awarded a single project? Awarded? You can only have one person awarded.
Well,
right?
You have five projects.
Yeah.
And you can award it to five different contractors.
Right.
Yeah. And that means they're only getting one project each.
Right. I got it.
So I can. I mean, if you guys have I was kind of fumbling with this too, because I was like you when I mean, I was writing, I was like, what? I had to rewrite. But if you guys got a better language for me, I'm open to that. So.
I get it now, but
wanted you guys to have that flexibility so they know up front that the owner, they want, they so choose, They could have multiple contractors.
So can you multiple?
We could have five contractors do one project each, or we could have one contractor do all five projects.
Yes.
Or anywheres in between.
Or anywheres in between. Yes. You could have three contractors.
Yeah, okay. No, okay.
Okay.
Now, when we award this, when we award these contractors their jobs, do we want this town all ripped up as, do we want all this town ripped up by five different guys at once? You know, we got a job going here, a job going over there, a job going down there. How do we want to do that?
That's down the road.
Yeah, that's down the road. Yeah.
Well, as a contractor, if I come in and I win the bids and I want to go to work,
right?
I'm going to work.
Oh, I know, but that's going to be part of your selection decision.
You know, if one contractor came in and said he wanted all of them, if he was awarded it all, and he came and said, I could do it all, I could put a crew there, crew there, crew there, 3 weeks, mm-hmm. done. Mm-hmm. In this season where we don't really typically need a whole lot of road work done. Mm-hmm. We could probably award that and get it done. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to run into any time we got to have sand and plow in, mm-hmm. I mean, then we're going to have to spot it because John's going to have to get around town.
Well, everybody else is here. Even if you're doing the summer job, you got to have access.
Exactly.
You might have to.
Are you the road foreman?
Yes.
Okay.
John,
I'm sorry. John, nice meeting you.
But that would be something we'd have to look at once we get our bids in. And
because I know they're going to be paving this down here this summer, the town of Linden coming in that way. So that's going to be quite slowed up there.
As far as access to get material
to here.
Yeah.
But I mean, you've got the Willie Fire Road you can come up through.
You come up Vernon.
But if you take that bridge out, you can't get through there to get to here. So you've got different accesses.
Stagger them a bit. And if you come
you're just going to have to figure that all out with the contractor.
So when they
those on.
Do they put time frames in when they do bids?
I asked them to provide a high-level schedule with their bid. But it's gonna come down to if you put too much constraint in what they can do, it's right. gonna affect the bid.
Right.
It's really gonna come down to once you award them or whoever, you guys gotta just work it out.
Yeah.
You know, and say, hey, we're gonna have delays over here, or we can't have this road and this road shut down at the same time, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of things that you'll have to work it out with them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Bid form. I said the bid form allows the bidder to submit on individual projects for a combined approach. Combined option is an opportunity for the bidder to reduce their overall bid if they were awarded multiple projects simultaneously as savings to the owner. The bidder will still be required to identify the individual cost of all projects, even though the total for the combined total may be less than the individual project bids. And I'll show you on the bid form why I say that. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give them an incentive so that if you guys decide to award it to one guy, all five projects, and if he says there's a 10% savings overall, you know, that's something for you to consider. And so they would still have to break out for us what all those projects value is for the FEMA part,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. so it balances out.
They can't give
out.
You one number. They can give you five numbers that equals one number.
Yes.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Yep. And you'll see that on the bid form, how you get that opportunity. I'm assuming you're good with that?
Yes.
Okay. And the selection process, I try to make this like really simple, but purposely kind of ambiguous, because it gives you guys more flexibility. The bidder selection will be based on experience, cost, project approach, schedule, references, and best value to the owner. That's it. I don't do this whole scoring thing, 10 points for this, 20 points for that. I mean, that's actually creates a lot more work. To do that.
That's fine.
But I think in general, my sense is that you guys already know who's going to do a good job and who's going to get the job done for you. And I think you need to have that flexibility to make that decision.
Some of that we won't know until the bids come in because, you know, given how much work is going to be going on in the next two construction seasons,
yes,
we may have less flexibility in terms of choice.
Yeah.
And we already had one bidder say, well, we can do this in 2026. We can't help you until 2026.
Right. Yeah. All right. Now we get into the scope of work. And I just do a quick summary up on top. I say the scope of work has been separated into five projects. Project one, bridge, I call it bridge number four, Ridge Road and Bennett Road. Project number two, box culvert number six, Barnes Brook. Project number three, box culvert number...
That's not Barnes Brook.
No.
That's not Hawkins Brook. Hawkins Brook is up here. Is that what you're going to say?
No.
Barnes Brook is over here,
yeah,
right?
Hawkins Brook.
No.
It originally said Hawkins Brook, and that's what I, this
Hawkins
is what I
Brook
talked to you
from
about.
From here down into Barnes Brook below the bridge, and then this is Barnes Brook over here, from how I understand it.
Okay.
That's the way it was on the map, yeah.
Yeah, because I changed it because when I was doing my research, I was getting in conflict. That's why I called you and says, is it Hawkins or is it Barnes? I can't.
Well, I went back to the book.
Something doesn't seem right.
Hawkins Brook is up here that runs down through behind and comes into Barnes Brook.
Yeah.
And this is Barnes Brook over here.
Barnes Brook.
Right. Okay. Okay.
That's how I interpreted it, unless somebody sees different than that.
So that's Barnes Brook culvert for here.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. And then project three is a box culvert number 15, Sheldon Brook. Project four is Brook Road, basically the whole 2,300 linear feet of that. And project five is Ridge Road.
The scope of state.
What's that? So, the scope of work for all of the projects include design, permitting, and construction, and as described per the attachments. So there's going to be attachments that'll, you know, give them additional information.
Yeah.
That's kind of like your culvert map and stuff. I'll show you that. Now,
we're specifically labeling
certain sites as a bridge or a box culvert.
Well, that's bring up a point. This is a conversation
and
Mike and I had.
And that's one thing I want to keep to have because he's doing the FEMA work. You
yeah.
had a specific way you wanted that word, a bridge.
They're all listed in the state inventory as bridges. They are box culvert.
Concrete
sectional box culvert design.
Yeah, concrete sectional.
So I asked Logan Perrone about this. I said, okay, are these culverts or are they bridges? He said, depends on the span.
So what triggers that? What is a span?
Most of these are fairly small spans. They're 9, 11, 13 feet for the three bridges.
Well, what is he considered a span for a bridge?
Yeah, what's the definition?
Well, that I don't know.
Because I had this conversation with Mike.
Right,
and
I was talking with Keith after I was talking with you about it, and he's, you know, we wanted to match what he's submitting to FEMA as
mm-hmm.
the word, the
well,
curvature.
Because design build gives somebody the opportunity to, if you can put a box culvert in there, that's way cheaper than a friggin'
exactly.
Right,
right. But
you have to find the difference between a bridge and a box culvert.
Box culvert is, I mean, they're all box culverts.
Right.
All, but they're classified as bridges in the inventory, the state inventory. What we'd have to go back to Logan and say, okay, what's the difference between these three? What makes them a bridge versus a culvert?
Right.
You can put box culvert in there or culvert, and parentheses bridge is fine. I don't care.
Okay.
Nor
and
do
that's
I.
Not going to mess up what. You
no,
mean
it just.
It, okay.
So you could just. Each place could be culvert / bridge in any section, leaving it open.
Right. The one word that number, that first one there might be tough to. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a construction guy. I'm not a bridge guy.
Bridge number one.
But
bridge.
But the I do know that the state bridge engineer, when he stood at that bridge inspector on that weekend in August, he said, you're looking at $1 million bridge up there, bridge number four.
That's the one by Grove Road?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would,
that
no,
was, that was
that
Mike,
would be Taylor.
Mike,
no, Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor said that.
And we met
right,
Mike.
Is that $1 million project that Winterset comes in and puts an actual bridge in? Or is that a box culvert project?
No,
that's my question.
Yeah, I think Taylor was talking a real bridge.
Right. And that's not what was in there.
No.
Mike Clark.
Clark,
Matt
yeah.
is there too.
Right. There was a whole conversation. We'll leave that. I guess we leave that to the engineers. Rather get hung up on it. Let's just call it. Let's call it.
Call it either way.
Yeah. Either way. Yeah. They'll figure it out.
They're
right.
The design engineers will design a solution.
I would be able to point Firestone a bit on it. He's a bridge designer. He's a bridge builder.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a box carver guy. That's what they do for a living is bridges.
Right, yeah. So he can bid it any way he wants.
But all I'm saying is to keep the options open.
But a box carver is going to be much cheaper than a bridge.
I understand that too.
Right. Yeah. If it meets the requirements for the H&H study.
That's
the unknown.
Yeah.
Because
right.
what
So it, let's jump let's skip through this because I don't want to
let's go ahead and move forward.
Let's just keep I'm gonna go just kind of go over the whole RFP, then we're gonna go back and revisit each project in detail, okay?
Yeah.
And because I've got some backup that allows us to I guess, you know, put a stake in the ground and say this is what we're gonna do. You know, type of approach. So anyway, so here I describe basically essentially all of the projects, and then it gets a little bit more in detail. And we talked about, for instance, on project one, we will look at two options for pricing, and these options came from Vermont's hydrology report. So I basically cut and pasted what they said for option A, a concrete box, and then they tell you the dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And option B was a precast concrete bridge with precast wing wall abutment. Now, that's where it gets to become the bridge.
Yeah.
And we know that's going to be really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And your bidders are not going to bid on that, to be honest with you. Because I've already seen that effect. Because they know it's going to cost too much. And you guys are, I mean, because if option A is going to do what you want to do, why would you want to go to option B, right?
Correct.
And that's what was on the H&H?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Okay, all good.
So eventually they're going to all price concrete box. Same thing with project two. I put option A as a concrete box, and option B, they have an H&H study. And open bottom arch. Now, from where I'm seeing costs already, this will cost you a few thousand dollars more than this will. Okay. And you'll probably be in the $60,000-$70,000 range to do the box culvert of that size. And this will be probably about $3,000 to $5,000 more.
For the open bottom?
Are both of those the
metal? Yeah.
Both of those were in the H&H study?
Yes.
Yeah.
They had three options in there, and when I went over with Mike, I said, do you really want to go? Because here's the thing is that you don't want to belabor the bidders to basically provide you with three bids for every project times five. That's a lot. They're gonna run away. They're like, forget this. It's too much. You know what I'm saying? So kind of pick the two that you would like to see and that you think is the most economical, and then you can pick and choose after you get the numbers. But some of them are not even going to price the second option. They're going to just say, we know it's already going to cost too much. There's no sense of wasting time on that. That makes sense?
Design, build, and quote what they
want.
So back to option B. We had option A, and this is B here.
This is B.
18 feet clear height, 7 foot underground, one-way rear. Okay. The bottom of abutment footing should be 10 to bedrock to prevent undermining.
And that's straight out of the H&H study.
Mm-hmm.
This structure, yeah.
I just cut and pasted it.
Can you skip back to A real quick? The A is just in box culvert.
A is just a box culvert.
And nothing's pinned to nothing, and nothing's
no,
there.
You just have to have it buried 2 feet.
Right. Okay.
Ooh.
So we're going to give them two options to bid, A and B.
Yes.
Can we get A and B regardless of our contractors? If they only give us a bid on option A, not B, can we require both bids on both ones?
You can require it, but some of them will bid option B, and some won't. I've already seen it yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
And they'll just say, not applicable, because they know it's going to cost more.
Right.
For some, they just...
As long as it meets the design side of it, and you have a choice of two ways to do it, you bid the way you want to do it.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah.
Because both doors are open from our standpoint.
Yeah.
I like to drill with that option myself, because if you get rush of water down through, the only thing you've got holding that is that box culvert, and the water picks that up and sends it down the... If it ain't pinned to something, it ain't going to stay there.
And that's a question that Taylor had when he looked at that site.
Right.
He said... Yeah, he was...
A tree, it gets trees in there or whatever, and it just... It
takes the whole thing away. Yeah.
That's why...
I can add that in there, but if I'm kind of thinking, well, if the state hydrology didn't require it...
Right.
You kind of, you're following the recommendation are.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand.
So you kind of blame them if it fails.
Right.
It's like, well, hey, we followed your recommendation.
Yeah.
And what do you feel about that, Keith?
Yeah, I think they're going to bid what they want to put in to meet specs.
Right.
They're not going to give us five options.
Right.
And they're going to do it the cheapest one they can.
Right.
And we're not going to choose number five because it's $1 million and not $300,000.
Right.
So.
And the engineers are looking at the H&H test. Well, right.
That's part of the tech. They'll get a copy. All the bidders will be done. Yeah.
And all the specs.
Well, like he said, if I can come in and do A,
$300,000
cheaper than I can option B.
Not even going to think about it.
Not even going to think about
price on option B.
Why would I?
Yeah.
Because at least the H&H has to do this. So no other stage.
So that puts us in a hard spot because if we can't really go against what the state gives in an H&H test, right?
Taylor,
we can't say, well, we don't like it.
Well, that's their H&H test. That's our
own. Right.
Let's ask Taylor. I already asked him that. He's looked at it. We'll just go back and ask him.
I know, but if the engineers are reading the H&H test and that's what it says on the H&H test.
Yeah, that's their option.
They're not going to design something that's going to fail for us.
Right.
Bottom line.
That's interesting.
All right, so then project three, the box cover number 15, option A is a structural plate pipe arch. Option B is a concrete box. And that's it. So two options. One or the other back, same thing.
Yeah.
And project four is Brook Road. Now, we'll get into this later, but I found that Brook Road actually is called Benson Road.
Bennett Road is up on the other side. It's a class four road that's a trail.
Right. But what happens is, you know that culvert map?
Yeah.
On the west side, where the intersection is, they call that
Bennett.
Brook Road,
yes.
And then on the right side of the intersection, they call that all Bennett Road.
So we're not doing Bennett Road off to the right, we're doing off to the...
Oh, I thought you were going off to the right.
No.
That goes to the town? Okay.
No. Yeah, Bennett Road is class four.
Yeah,
Bennett Road is class four.
Bennett Road stays in Kirby. Brook Road goes down to Burke.
Okay.
That's where the map I showed you that shows
we came in from Eastburg.
I must have been confused.
You were really confused.
When I came, right. Yeah, when I rode you, because I remember, we took a right.
Correct.
Okay.
At the bridge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are we still putting in that Brook Road is contingent on funding, options available or whatever, funding availability? Because you guys still haven't really made a decision.
Yeah, you can look on that Brook Road. I put it on there. Some cement.
Right, so, and then part of it, I think there's three culverts within that. What I said is 2,300 linear feet, approximately 2,300 feet of road to class three design plus work on the embankment.
There are four culverts in there.
Four culverts?
They're buried. John and I drove it about 2 weeks ago.
And those are mapped out, I'm assuming, on your culvert map?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I need to read. All right, this is my bad then. I need to.
Well, one of them is pretty close to the Linden Town line.
Yeah. Okay. And Mike, you said you prefer metal.
Well, I do, unless John prefers different than that. No, metal's fine.
Okay. Only big like that.
Yeah.
18 is the new minimum standard, right?
So also the length of road, Mike.
Length. Yeah.
Length. I came up with a different square, different length than you did, and I might be counting more of the road than what. Are we not repairing from the intersection down to the town line?
So basically, I came right from the town line of London, and I stopped where our line is.
Yep.
And I got my roller out, and I went from there up the road, 1,465 feet to where the road didn't start getting washed out anymore. It was a regular back to our original road.
Okay, it was. Okay.
So I had 1,465 feet of road.
Yep. And I was measuring the whole thing, and Mike, and there's a section of it that you do not need repair work on.
So should I say 1,500 to be safe?
Yeah, 1,500 feet. Go back with Mike's measurement.
Okay. That's what I come up with. I came all the way up to where that Rook came to the road, mm-hmm. and one further than that, there was still some more stuff along the bank, but then our road was back to original width
road.
It wasn't undercut
or anything like that.
That's my knowledge. I didn't see where it was.
Bank stabilization, nothing like that. Everything.
No, the Rook was way, way over from that, other than until when you got to the bridge.
All right. So I apologize.
So can we add at the end of that one, at the end of the Brook Road one, this project is contingent on funding availability? Because if there's any projects that we run out of money, that's the project that would be.
Well, I could put language up in the front here that all projects are dependent on funding availability. That way, because what you may find out is that you may not have enough money left over to do this other project, but yet you have enough money to do Brook Road. And so you don't want to preclude yourself, I guess, you know, if you decide to, you know, work on Brook Road. You know what I'm saying?
But it's going to be tougher, better though, if he knows he's going to bid on everything. He's not going to get the jobs if the funding's not there.
Yeah, he's got to, because if you put some sort of caveat on this one, the Brook Road, they may not even bid it.
Well, I think our biggest issue that we thought we had was fixing the brook.
Right? Yes, correct.
So if we can fix a road for $100,000,
yeah, that road, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm coming up with.
But if the state said we're going to pay $2 million to fix a brook, that's where it put it out of our out of our financial capabilities.
Right.
But if we're going to do just a road,
right,
and the state can do whatever they want to do with the brook,
yeah,
then we're going to do the road.
Absolutely.
I think we absolutely do the road.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because it's not going to take that much money to fix that road.
That's going to be one of the cheapest part of the whole project.
Yeah, this one might fit right in with whatever funds you have left.
Give us some money.
Because it will be the cheapest part of the project. I purposely didn't want to say anything about Brook.
Right.
You know, repairs or anything like that. But I did put in embankment, should I take that out?
Probably have to fix a bank.
There's some banks down to there that need to be fixed where the brook came close to the road.
Yeah.
So they need to armor them banks back up with the whole road.
Okay.
Wouldn't they figure that out on their own design side of things?
Well, it needs to be brought back up to a class three road like it is now, 1,500 feet. So to hold that material, you've got to do some work on them.
Yeah, and they will know that.
You may want to specify and say
some bank stabilization where it might be required.
Yeah, or you need to define, like,
there are
let's
certain
say,
sections of the road that need to be armored.
Yes, or define a distance. Let's say from once a road is repaired to the left side or to the bank side, you can specify 20 feet of that has to be like stabilized.
Right.
And then they, you know, they can go along because it might be spot areas. Mm-hmm. But you don't want them. You don't want a guy. You don't want one guy says, "Oh, to me, 10 foot is stabilized." Right. But if you define 20 feet, then I think that protects you a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Make sure that's all consistent. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that whole section of 1,500 feet, you might have. I'm just second guessing here. Maybe 300 to 400 feet of bank stabilization that needs to be done.
But is 20 feet a good number of stable?
I believe it is.
What do you call that on the? It's not really a ditch now on the left side of it. What do you call that area? On the right side, yeah. What do you call that piece of strip of land after, let's say, the road is stabilized to make sure it's not going to roll?
So you've got some ditching to do on the right side of the road all the way down through as you replace the culverts.
Yeah.
Yes. And then on the left side of the road going down.
Brookside.
The brook comes down, then it goes out, and then it comes back to our road.
Yeah.
So where that brook came back to our roads.
Yeah.
Is what has to be stabilized.
Okay.
With the whole rock.
They rock stabilize it.
Right. Is that bank? What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to define that term and the
I would say when the river met the road it needs to be stabilized back to hold the road.
Stabilized or armored?
Yeah, armored.
Well no, I'm just saying stabilized, armored. Armored is they're digging down.
I would say armored because you got to put rock in here because if you put anything other than rock,
the
water's just going to hit the gravel and there goes our gravel.
Bye bye.
Now is that part of the H and H study? They don't say.
No, this is just the road part, so there's no H and H study per se attached to it.
Well, I know when we did the bank stabilization over here, we got the
The study from
the river management to how they wanted that bank stabilized. Mm-hmm. Is that the same sort of thing that you guys are?
Yeah, on a smaller scale because it's not a call, but it's just the idea that you put larger stuff buried in the brook.
Right.
As opposed
pretty much
to
right. Like you did right down here on the corner.
Like where is that? You know, type 4 and 5?
4 and 5, type 4 and 5 stone. And then they can put.
You say that's 4 and 5?
Correct.
Yeah. And then they can go over the rest of it with.
Because
1 foot
plus. The wording in Winterset's bill to us or whatever, or the contract for those two sections of road that they repaired, that was specific to how. What size rock was used, how far it was buried down, all of that.
Yeah.
That can be used for an example or definition for armoring or whatever.
Well, John, when we did on Kirby Mountain Road last winter when that slid, and Ben Mathers gave you the design of how to stabilize that banking, is that the same thing as the H&H test?
We didn't do one. It was an emergency deal, but we just put the bigger rock to get over the day before Christmas.
Yeah.
When it comes to A&R project, I believe that's when you in the brook.
Yeah.
Playing around
so
in the brook.
So they're two different things.
We're not getting in the brook.
Okay.
We're just putting our road back together, holding our banks of our road.
Okay, so it's two different.
I believe.
Yeah, let the state be responsible for their own watershed.
Right.
You don't want to touch it.
I'm an embankment of 20 foot.
I'm going to read a word of this. This is sort of my notes, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to protect you guys so that you have at least everyone's going to bid at least 20 foot width of stabilized embankment. Along the whole road, you know, Because there's going to be spots where...
Yeah.
Yeah, as needed, because there's going to be spots, like you said, you know, it could be a, you know, 20-foot strip or 200-foot strip, you know, as you go along.
And on the right side of that road going down through there, we've got culverts to put in, and that, do you want that lined with stone after?
It's not steep enough.
It's not steep enough, is it? Just put mulch in it, or hay mulch it, and call it good.
You want to stick with 18-inch diameter? Now's the time to change it.
24.
24.
Okay.
Is that a change they made this year, John, to the minimum?
I don't know if they made a change or not. I believe
I know the state.
Still 18, but...
Because some of that stuff in there was 12 and stuff, but...
It has been mentioned that they wanted to go there on everything.
These bidders are going to come and look at this anyway, I would assume.
Yeah.
We gotta have some guidelines for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, this is where you want to make sure everyone's apples to apples. Okay. Project 5, Ridge Road. A portion of this road was damaged and currently is a single lane. Barnes Brook side of the embankment has eroded.
Yep.
The town would prefer to shift a portion of the road to the north, which will encroach into the existing ledge upslope. Approximately 200 linear feet of the embankment with a downslope of approximately 65 feet will need to be restored. The existing guardrail can be reused and reinstalled to the proper location. Approximately 300 linear feet upslope encroachment will need to be removed to accommodate the shift in lane travel. This is a Class 2 road, 10-foot wide lane plus 12 to 14-foot width for a ditch.
No, so this is a Class 2 road, 10. So what is the legal specs of that road width-wise supposed to be?
I could not find it. Do you know what a Class 3 road width is? I know Shauna said it's in the orange book. I couldn't find it.
You can't find it.
So I'm thinking your 12 to 14 should be back to the 10, because that's what we're going to do completely, I think. Right, John? 12 to 14 feet wide, and that will give us another lane plus our deck.
That's just a lane.
Just a lane.
Yeah. So you want...
Right.
Well, let's...
20.
I believe the road's around 20 feet wide.
20 feet
total.
Wide. So, yeah.
Well, that's why I was going 10 and 10, yeah. But then I was giving you another 12 to 14 for ditch.
For ditch. That's what you're doing there.
Yeah.
So we already going to have 10 feet of road to begin with.
Yep, you already got one lane.
One lane, so another 10 feet would be the new lane.
Yep.
And then we only need like 2 feet of ditch after that. With
that's
that.
It?
2 to 4.
Okay.
2 to 4?
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, better be specific.
Right.
But we'll give you the minimum.
So a lot of water comes out of that field.
So
I've seen the whole run of
bogging down there.
You said this is a Class 3?
2.
That's okay. 10-foot wide lane plus 4-foot width for a ditch.
Yeah, I believe.
Okay, that gives you 14-foot total.
Yep.
Okay. All right. This is where we start to get into the nitty-gritty of what their bid has to include. I said additional scope of work to be included as listed below. Permit cost, application, and coordination. So I want them to manage the whole permit process. The owner will provide builder's risk insurance. That's only if you want to. It's not necessary. But that's just protect, let's say, precast gets, you know, made at the factory, it gets shipped, and the guy gets into an accident and it breaks apart or something, you know, then the insurance company will basically pay for the new one for you. That's what builder's risk insurance does.
The owner is not us.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it's to protect you, the owner. So
the owner
would buy it. Yeah, it's cheaper for the owner to buy it than the contractor. Mm-hmm. If you require the contractor to carry
it, add it in the price.
Yes, you'll pay double. Then if the owner just added it to their existing, because right now I'm assuming you're insured through VSLD, whatever.
VLCT.
Yeah. So you can just add it to that current policy. Special inspections, coordination, but cost to be paid by the owner. Again, this is something that if special inspections are required, you need to pay for that. They will help coordinate it. They'll be the one that says, hey, we need a compaction test done on Tuesday, you know. And then I'll get involved and I'll call the guy up and say, XYZ special inspection guy, you need to be showing up, you know, by 10 a.m. on Tuesday. He does his test, especially with there's any cast in place concrete that needs to be done. The slump test needs to be done for the concrete. Rebar needs to be, you know, looked at, that kind of stuff. But that's something that you as a town will have to pay for that. What you're going to see in my bid analysis is I have a category of everyone's bid up at the top. Then I have another category I call yet to buy. These are items that you guys need to be aware of, because just because you receive, let's say, a $2 million bid, that's not all inclusive. You don't have special inspections costs in there. You don't have some owner's contingency, which you need to carry in there. You don't have oversight, project oversight costs in there. So like if you want me to continue on and oversee the project during the construction phase, that cost needs to be in there. So you need to see the complete picture, financial picture of that project. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because special inspections, coordination, let me give the owner so.
But essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're anticipating hiring you
right
for the second part of this program past what you're contracted for now.
Call that phase two. Yeah.
Phase two.
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, we would be paying you
to coordinate all
to
this.
Do that.
Yes. Okay. Well, you don't. But I don't hire the special inspections company. That's different. That's laboratory work. You know, where they do this testing, the compaction test, the concrete stuff. My insurance doesn't allow me to do that. You have to have a professional liability insurance to do that. I'll coordinate.
I'll coordinate
for you.
Right.
In fact,
none of the three of us are going to go.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
What I'll do actually is I will actually put another RFP together to get pricing for you guys for special inspection services. So you'll get three bids, let's say, of the companies that do this, and they'll say, let's work with XYZ company. We'll get them on a contract, and that way, anytime they do inspections, there's a per rate cost. So like for every test that they do, there's a lump sum fee for that. But I would coordinate, make sure they show up. And
so you'll coordinate when the special inspection is supposed to be done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I don't know what pay for.
Yeah,
we're gonna pay for it.
Yeah, the town pays for the cost of it, though.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah,
we pay for you, and we pay for the cost of the test.
Yeah. Now, item four is engineering design and work completion to be in accordance with applicable requirements of federal, state, VTRAN, town of Stratford, and I'll re-enter what we said about the agenda, federal regulation.
The town of Kirby.
Yeah, Stratford's your other project.
Yeah, we'll be to that. Yep. Secure certification that the design meets all applicable standards, codes, requirements for design and public safety standards. Then compliance with FEMA, all work will be accomplished in accordance with FEMA public assistance program and the following as a guide. The MAS, you know, on the VTRANS specifications, secure submit to FEMA documentation by engineer registered in the laws of the state of Vermont, practice structural or civil engineering, attesting to the required structural capacity requirements for all work, provide certification from an engineer of adherence of all traffic control devices per the manual and uniform traffic control device. That's only just applicable. Davis Bacon wages. This is one of the things that my responsibility is to make sure that all the contractors on site are in compliance with Davis Bacon wages. And then, Marlo, this is the part that your son said to insert. Construction needs to comply with the 2024 Vermont Agency of Transportation standard specifications for construction ceiling. So they can have, this is the orange book.
Yeah. No, that's not the orange book. That's something else that he
has
sent me.
Oh, okay, that's the orange book.
But he works on the bridges, and I did not realize at the time that two of our segments are just road repair. They're not bridges. I don't know. I looked on that link, and I think it's primarily for bridges.
So okay. Should we just have bridge before construction of bridge?
It says highway construction material construction services, and I think it's for bridge repair. So I don't know if we necessarily need that link.
Back to number six here, it says under the laws of the state of Vermont, Department of Structural and Civil Engineering. So whoever who designs this has to have that. They're going to be registered under the state of Vermont.
Yeah, they could be New Hampshire based or Massachusetts based, but there's typically reciprocal laws within those states.
Yeah.
You know, to accept other.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like the structural part, so yeah. We're good there. That covers everything on our end.
Yeah. All right. So, do I need to delete this note 8 and put the orange book in there then, Link?
I don't know.
You got 3 bridges out of 5 that would need to match that spec. Why not just leave it there and let them? If it doesn't apply for some reason, then it doesn't apply. But if it does, then they know that that's the standard by which it has to be measured.
I know. Well, see, we're a small town, mm-hmm. and the orange book applies to us. Every time we had a meeting with Shauna, she kept making references. Right. You've got to go back to the orange book. So I told Taylor that I had mentioned that, and he says, well, I've never heard of the orange book before. And he's dealing with big state bridge constructions.
Right.
So I don't know if that link necessarily applies to us because we're a small town.
Yeah, I could say if applicable. If applicable is a catch-all phrase.
Okay.
I'll protect you.
Okay.
That might be a question for Logan. I don't know.
I could say.
Yeah, but if it doesn't hurt to cover it.
And when you called me the other day, Mike, I was typing an email to Logan to ask him that question. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. But do you think I should? You want me to ask Logan that question?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why their standard specifications would be any different than our orange book, but they may be.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't answer that.
You got both of them covered, though. You got the orange book and the other standard.
I'll put both of them in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll say applicable.
You can't lose.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. No, that's a good idea.
Okay. These are some. There's gonna be more attachments, but I just. So that you have an idea, I started it, and it's going to be an aerial map. Basically, using your link that you sent me.
Yeah.
That's a great tool.
Oh, good.
That's awesome. Okay. Okay. It helped me because I kind of have to present this RFP in the eye of someone. I mean, you guys have been living this nightmare for 2 years plus, so you know. These roads, like the back of your hand, you know, what's in. And then someone like me walks in, you know, it's really overwhelming because it's a lot of, you know. Uh-huh. So that's the best way to really get my senses of, oh, I understand where that location is. So that's why we want to use that same tool for the bidders, because a lot of these guys, they don't know either. And you want them to kind of narrow quickest possible to be brought up to speed, you know, of the projects. So there's going to be a lot of attachments with this. Under insurance requirements, the following insurance certificates will be required within 10 days after the notice of award or notice to proceed is issued, which is you want a certificate of insurance that shows general liability, umbrella, property, auto, workers' comp. You want 100% payment performance bond. You also want a professional liability on behalf of the engineering firm. And I said bid bond will not be required. So that's kind of the actions that once an NTP, they call it, the notice to proceed is issued, all those things need to be submitted to the town to protect you, your risk. And then also that's when part of my oversight is when I start developing the contract itself. And there's going to be a lot of back and forth that goes, you know, that happens with that. If you guys have a a town attorney that works with you?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what I'll do is, after I develop the contract with the contractor, I'll toss that over to your town attorney and make sure that they like it. And then they may have, I haven't met an attorney who doesn't want to change things, but someone's always going to want to do something, so there's going to be usually a lot of back and forth that occurs.
Now, the bid bond not required will not be required. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yep. So, you know the difference between a performance bond and a bid bond?
Nope.
Okay. Bid bond, sometimes on public works or public project, municipalities or cities or even the federal government will require a bid bond. That means on the day that the bid is due, every bidder is required to submit 5% of either a check from the bank or a bid bond, which is like an insurance certificate that basically says that they will stand behind the bid that they gave you. So for instance, let's say you received $1 million bid from a guy. 10% would be $100,000. So he basically, if he doesn't have a bonding company that he works with, he literally has to give you a check written to the town for $50,000. And if he bails out, like the next day, he says, I'm pulling my bid because he found a mistake or whatever, the town gets to cash that check. I'm kind of against that approach. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of your smaller guys are not going to do this.
Right.
Do they have the capability to do that.
Right.
But the performance bond protects you so that, let's say you go back to that same contractor, he gives you a bid of $1 million. We put him under contract for $1 million. He has to submit a performance bond to you for $1 million. Mm-hmm. If he goes belly up, or he goes bankrupt, you're covered. Then his insurance company will complete the project and not one dime will go up. So the insurance company takes over and maybe ends up taking $1.5 million to finish the job.
They have to pay that.
They pay that.
Okay.
You don't.
All right.
The other thing that's nice about having a performance bond, and you'll see it on my other sheet, is I ask what their bond limits are. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a really good clear picture of where they are financially. Mm-hmm. So if you get someone like Casella, okay, mm-hmm. they're a huge outfit.
Sure.
So for me, I typically would say, a company like Casella will say, hey, our aggregate bond limit is probably $100 million. Mm-hmm. But the maximum single bond was probably $20 million. That's really good. Mm-hmm. For your small guys, they may say, my aggregate coverage is maybe $5 million, but the maximum is maybe $1 million per project. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see also what that costs. Mm-hmm. So for a big guy like Casella, it would probably cost maybe, let's say, usually typically less than 1%. It's like 0.8%. Whereas a small guy, if he doesn't have a good track record of doing bonded work, his fee will be between 1.5 and 2%. And you'll know, you'll see that pretty quickly.
Okay.
In here, under the required information, I say the following information is required. Please keep your responses brief and limited to 5.5 pages. Firm outline, team experience, superintendent, project manager, resumes, how long they've been with the firm, project experience, similar client, project minimum 3, references minimum 3. Then here I want them to show us a proof of bonding. Mm-hmm. That means they'll get a letter from their insurance and bonding company and say, we have no problems, providing Casella with, bonding for this project, and these are their limits. Proof of insurances and proof of professional liability insurance.
This is all boilerplate to these people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Standard routine stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They have to send a signed contractor qualification form. You'll see that coming up. And then the signed bid form. Now, what I added with this one is this signed bid form with accompanying scope of work clarification for each bid and a high-level schedule showing activities that include, at a minimum, design, permitting, long lead items, construction, and completion. So we want them to provide us, because once you see the schedule, if you see one project that's going to take 3 months to do, another project that only takes maybe a month to do, when I do my due diligence, that's what I'm going to ask them, are you thinking that you do all these simultaneously, or are they going to be staggered, you know? And if they come back and say, let's say it's a big guy like Casella, and it's like, you know, we can put all the guys on it, and we'll get it all done in 3 months, all five projects. That's a decision that you will have to take in if that's beneficial to you or not. A smaller guy might say, I'll have to do project one and project three in sequence. One first, then right. The other one before I can, you know, so. But you at least kind of want an idea of what the duration is for each guy. So here's the contractor qualification form. I keep it fairly simple. This is the form I've used for like 20 years. Just general company information, you know, your work, the financials. So this is where I like to see what their last 3 years worth of volume was.
Sure.
This is where I ask about their bond, what their single limit is, an aggregate limit, and what their bonding rate is, and the bonding company. And then I ask them what their EMR is. EMR is the experience modifier rating. That's a safety rating that's basically kind of managed by the insurance industry. So if you see an EMR of 1.0, that means they're like average, they're right there. So you really want to see folks that are underneath the 1.0. If you see somebody that's in 1.2, 1.5, that means they've had a lot of accidents, recordable accidents, and you kind of start to kind of question their, type of corporation, and then attach a certificate of insurance, and then you want to know who the principals are that are have the authorization to sign.
How come you give them yes or no on attached insurance?
Aren't you asking for that? I am. This is usually separate from from the bid form, and I just include this in my. This is like my standard form that I use. Oh. That's why, yeah. But you're right. I do ask for that anyway. Then they have to sign that they're telling the truth. And then this is the bid form itself. This is how I broke it down. Project one, option A, lump sum. This is the one. This is what I was talking about. Should we also ask for the permitting, design cost, and construction cost, then there'll be, you know, you add those two together, and that'll give, you know, your total. Mm-hmm. So I will modify that and split that up.
To say two different.
Yeah, let us know what that is, yeah. And then I will ask them what their duration would be for each project. And I'll change this to summer.
Does it ask anywhere on the bid when they can start the projects?
No. That's where we're going to see that from the schedule that they submit to us. When they submit a schedule to us.
But that comes in with the bid?
It comes with the bid. Okay. Yeah. So each project, I require an option, whether it's an option A or option B, you know, breakdown cost. But this one, I actually say option C. There's a reason why we did option C. You and I talked about this. We wanted their
if somebody had an alternative
method. I think that's why
at H&H but wasn't a
right.
Box covered.
Because I say that is because in the hydrology report, the state will accept any other option
right.
that meets the criteria. So Mike and I had talked about that, and I said, well, let's just put it in there, and we can consider that.
Is that on every project, or just
whatever was on the hydraulic test?
I have that on this project two also. I have that on project three. And four and five is what it is. That's the road repairs.
Right.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, if somebody's got another way of doing it and it matches the specs, put it out there.
Yeah.
One thing, we talked about aluminum last fall, and by chance, talking to the Contech bridge designers about their aluminum, and I got three quotes on aluminum for these sites.
Okay.
It came up that one of our contractors who was bidding on our sites under our original RFP was looking at aluminum. I went back to our Native Son bridge inspector for the state of Vermont and asked him that question. And he went and talked to the design guys at state, because, you know, people, and they said, no, we don't want to do aluminum up here because there's the soils can, depending on the soil acidity, it can degrade the aluminum. So you really got to know what you're doing. And it's a lot more work than just the upfront cost. Aluminum might be cheaper than some materials or solutions, but long term, it's not a solution for Vermont.
Should we exclude that out the bat?
Well, yes. So on the Brook Road down there, on the Linden side, they're putting in shiny steel. Now, I don't know, I don't look like steel, though. It looks like aluminum. Did you go down and look at that at all?
I've gone through, I went through there when it was full of snow, so I didn't see it.
It's an arched structure that's all bolted together with a bottom that's bolted to it with wing walls coming off it that are bolted to that structure. Now, I don't know what they call that structure, whether it's a, I have no idea. I'd have to ask yourself, what is that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a culvert. It's basically a culvert, but it's domed. And I looked at why they were putting it in, and I looked at the finished product when they were done. Longevity, I can tell you.
Well, no, that's what.
And I don't know. I mean, it looks good.
We don't
right
need
now,
to know
but I don't know what the longevity of it is.
Right.
Is it temporary or is it permanent? We don't know that.
Permanent.
Right. So anyway, I think based on what Taylor, in his as a professional bridge engineer inspector for the state of Vermont, talking to the design and contract team at state of Vermont, we do not want aluminum in Vermont.
Okay.
So we want to exclude that.
Well, I don't know if they're calling that aluminum down there.
We don't know what it is.
I'm going to find out what that is. I'm going to ask them what that is.
But some of our...
Put a magnet to it. Put a magnet to it.
Sure.
Some of our... it came up... The way it came up is when we did an initial meeting in November, somebody mentioned it. So I ran that to ground with Taylor, and the best recommendation is don't do it.
Yeah. It looks like steel to me down there.
Yeah, steel would work. But anyway, I mean that's something I don't know if we have to put that in there or not.
Well, I think if you already know you would not accept aluminum as an option, I think we should spell that out right off the bat.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna. That's just a note for me to clarify on option C.
And we already know one of the contractors was pursuing that angle.
Right.
So. That was Mark Chabon.
Okay. All right.
Job in Stratford pretty much straightforward as far as what culvert you could use on that.
They received the same report that you guys received.
Yeah.
And we're actually putting the same options, you know, whether it's box culvert as what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And so I already received numbers on one of the culverts, which gives me kind of a good insight. projects where you guys have five.
Right, right.
The other project that they have is basically Plumber, Manny, the bank.
Yeah. I just knew one of them was the culvert type thing.
Yeah, one of them's a culvert, yeah. Yeah. All right. So here's the bid form. I will make those modifications, especially with option C. I do have option C all the way through project three. And then here's the combined option, which is optional projects one through project five, project one through project five. So if they want to provide a deduct, they can either give us a dollar amount or percentage as an option.
If they get all the jobs.
If they get all the jobs.
Okay.
They have to acknowledge any addendums, and then they have to sign. Good. So that's the end of the RFP. Any questions?
Are we going to go back to where we were talking about that first?
Yep. Now we're going to get into details.
Right.
You guys good with how this is laid out?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. No problem with it.
Okay. Can we take a quick bio break?
Sure. Then we'll dive into the.
Where's the restroom?
Right in there.
Okay.
Office.
Okay.
Next room. Well, that looks like that color.
Brother-in-law really
it
likes
does.
Sir.
It does look like that color.
He sent us a picture. Pardon, sir.
Oh.
Pancakes.
Show. Linda's brother?
Yeah,
show. No, it's my sister's husband.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, we've built office.
That's the one.
He does maple syrup anymore. He's on a special diet.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
the box over
the
pan.
But,
no, Bill he's a gadget kind of guy. You'd like to talk to him here. I mean, he tinkers on, you know, personally, BMWs.
Fixed to Justin Smith about
he actually a portion in. He raced went to a local track, tweaked the engines and everything to race, you know, a stock, a kind of a stock port.
So he probably was running there or flash drive.
No, he never would have. He was an IBMer down in the Poughkeepsie area.
Yeah, but Eric's been all over.
Oh, has a band like
that. He's playing.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of joy? Yeah. Is there a strong requirement to say you can't put them in?
There's a recommendation that you don't.
Right.
Other than a suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they did it because they could get them quick and they wanted to fix that road.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
But you get the idea that it's
probably a 25-year fix.
Go on, Eric.
Good. So it's not a temporary fix that they're not going to get paid for. That's
right.
Permanent.
Permanent fix. It'll get paid for it, and it's quick, and you get the road going. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You guys like this process?
Yeah.
So good. Far.
Yeah. And actually, I actually like coming now ahead of time rather than doing it later, because it actually helps. I think we're killing two birds with one stone. Because this way is, because before I talked about Mike sitting down with you guys to look at my RFP after I have it done, and then do any red lines and edits, and then toss it back to me, and then I'll make the changes. This actually speeds that process up. I figured, you know what? Let's just hit it. It's going to be a long meeting, but let's just hit it. We'll get it all done, because I definitely want to get this out. I think we can get this out by end of this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll give us at least a week ahead of schedule. And then and then I can adjust all the schedules, you know, with that. Okay. So let's go back to
option A and B.
Let's go to project one first, just to kind of clarify and make sure. Now, this is we had this, if you notice, I put a parenthesis under bridge.
Okay.
Because here's a confusion. In a hydrology report, and I'll bring this up right here.
Well, I showed you that site where we came up with that term bridge.
Yes.
Can I ask a question about box culvert?
Yeah.
Does that come with attached concrete sides for wing walls or not?
I don't know. That I don't know, and that's part of the what the state of Vermont requires for
H&H is
the box culvert. Yeah.
Right, so my only thing with this town highway one is you've got that main ditch coming down that ridge road to that bridge. All that water comes from the whole right side of that road down into that big ditch.
Right.
And it's almost like a river that goes straight down.
Yep.
And then you've got a bridge that's going to be in there at a 90, mm-hmm. just like this.
Yep.
So my concern to that, if we don't have a wing wall, at least an inlet wing wall on that side, and that water hits that bank, I don't, if it
this
ever happens in. Again.
Right.
This one here?
Huh?
This bridge here?
No, the one down on Brook Road.
On the Brook Road. You've got that.
But the H&H study.
I don't care about the H&H test. I'm just saying what happened on a big storm. That freaking took that whole top of that road completely out on that right side and brought it all to that one bridge.
Yeah. And
that was part of the failure.
We just rebuilt that whole ditch.
Correct. But we had too small a stone in that ditch.
For what happened, yeah.
So when you're getting all that water down through there, you're getting almost two brooks coming into one bridge. Now, I don't know how they did their H&H test, if they just did it off that one brook that comes down to the bridge, and they didn't put that in mind over here on the right-hand side, because that gets a tremendous amount of water. All that water from that whole mountainside, you know, Gorm Drive and all that, comes right down to that.
And that's why you want the wings.
I would like some wings on the inlet, but that's why I was back to the...
Yeah,
either that or you're going to have to get big stone there.
Well, big stone, right, to support that.
Yeah, truck-sized stone.
Yeah.
We can specify that. If you want wing walls on the inlet and outlet side, we can specify that. Because most likely, there's going to be all precast anyway.
Right.
So that would be easy for them to...
Right.
Do that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's
I've never heard the outlet side being critical with wing walls. But
anything I've ever done with A&R on a bridge?
Both ends.
Both ends. Okay. A 12-foot angle this way and a 12-foot angle this way. But, but that's with rock. You know, I'm saying with the rock, but not the cement. I guess that would probably be up to the design team. I just don't know if they know how much water that actually gets. I mean, that box culvert isn't anchored to nothing. Does that box culvert have a bottom to it? I'm thinking it's got a bottom that's anchored
does.
To that.
Option A does. It's a yeah. Option A is, I believe they spelled out that they want. Option A, they want. They want it's a true box, and they want it buried 2 feet
in
the ground.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you want to have wing walls specified, then we should say that. Now's the time to get what you want.
Which one of those H&H studies say?
I mean, if you put big enough riprap in there, it's going to support it as a ring wall, as a wing wall.
I think you might as well do it while you price of the concrete and a little bit you're asking for is cheap. Yeah. Now it's time to ask for it.
Where did John go?
Sorry, I can't see that. I have a bunch of tabs up there, but I can't see them, so.
Yeah.
Woods.
I got deep towards you.
Oh.
I'm headed.
Up.
Do you want Jeff to give me a ride home?
Let me sit back for a second.
We're losing our people.
Yeah, you're disappearing on us. I can make decision making easier. Right. We're done. They come back. We volunteered you guys to take it all on.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the Banner Road side that you said. I got this wrong. So I need to go this side.
Yes. Over here where it says Brook Road.
Yeah, that's the side.
That's the side.
That's why it confused me, because when Mike and I were driving, I remember clearly taking a right. And then
he said he brought you one from the other
side. He brought me from the other side. And I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I pulled this from the Culver map online.
Yeah.
So is this the correct one?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I got that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on the map, they call it a bridge, that's the B.
Mm-hmm.
But in the hydrology report, he calls it a culvert.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I started getting confused.
Yeah.
And I said, let's be careful about our definition, because one will drastically cost more than the other.
Right.
And I understand that, but we're also, because I talked with Keith Worcester afterwards,
yeah,
and he's doing the FEMA work,
right,
and he wants the words to kind of match.
Yes. I agree with that too. So that's why I kind of put it in parentheses.
In parentheses, yeah.
As a compromise.
Yeah.
And it was a bridge before. It was, you know, concrete sides, concrete top. They didn't have anything in base.
But they're afraid if they put the word bridge out to bid, they're going to get a whole different idea of what we really
Somebody's
want.
Somebody's
going to
get a little carried away with it.
Yeah, I mean, because you can imagine all the, I mean, you're going to have, you probably have to have, you know, piles put, you know, drilled in or whatever, the abutments that's going to involve. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, what I
that's what I want Mike to hear. So
my only curiosity, just is.
This is my husband.
No, you up at paper company land.
Where'd everybody go?
Over at the river road.
Meeting.
There's a key.
Not that cold.
You can hang a right and go up to where the enlisted people were at the barracks, where you hang a left and head back towards East Haven. And they put a culvert in, and I'm guessing it's back in the 50s. And it's got to be 5/16, 3/8 plate steel, corrugated, rolled.
Yeah.
It's all bolted together. It's set there for all these years. Of course, it's probably a little oversized, but they've had trees that have come down. Water's topped over it. And like Mike said, you know, they riprap both sides of this. Water's gone over the road. That damn thing is set there. It looks as good today as it did back then. Of course, probably it was taxpayer dollars that funded this when they built the base up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably a little overdone to start with. But what I haven't figured out is why we don't use something like that to replace these bridges, because you can bolt those together, drop them in, fill over it. If that thing's lasted 75 years for the price of what the steel is, it, to me, it would be a lot cheaper than putting a stupid concrete thing that's going to crack and fall apart at the most opportune time.
Well, it's a lot easier to haul over the road. It's a lot easier to, you have smaller equipment that's required to set it. Yeah, by all means. Once you get the big concrete, that's great.
I talked to my son about, well, these panels are probably pretty heavy, but it wouldn't take a 50-ton crane to hoist
it. No, it wouldn't. No.
$10
at $350 an hour.
So this right here is what I'm just going to call this the bridge, right?
Well, this is where in the records they called it a bridge. That's the B. But in my RFP, what I did is I call it culvert, then I put in parentheses bridge.
Right. So this, let's say this is Town Highway 1, bridge is gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Brook Road's right here going down here. Bennett Road's right here. We have a main ditch that comes to this corner of this bridge from Gorham Drive and all that down to here. But on this side here is where I would like a wing wall put. So when this water comes down here, it will wash this bank out on a high water. So I was talking with John, and
whether this is, we'd like it out of concrete if we could get it incorporated with that. But if that don't work, we'll have to use like riprap type 4 and 5.
Well, you, you tell me what you want, because what I did with option B is just after you and I spoke, I said a precast concrete bridge with precast wing wall abutment.
Wing wall abutment, yeah.
And that's if we went to the bridge route. I can add in here, you know, with precast wing wall, you know, to that.
The problem with a lot of these bridges that I've seen that have washed out is they didn't have a wing wall.
Yep.
So a lot of your bridges are on the corner of a brook.
Right. I mean, it,
so
I mean,
when that water gets down to it, it gets behind that.
Right.
That
it's all the water, right.
It's going to wash the road.
Right. Yep.
So without a wing wall, diverting that water into that bridge.
Right.
So option A, we just need to add wing concrete wall. Box with
wing wall.
Adjacent wing wall.
Yep.
Concrete box with, or,
well, you can see what they did on that aluminum culvert. You had it on your phone.
Yeah, I know.
It's got the wing walls.
Yeah, and makes sense. Or, if the wing wall is going to be way more expensive than the rack, then they'll probably give us the cheaper option.
And a lot of the times on your outlet, if you have a wing wall on your outlet going out on each side, you can build the surface of your roads out to that bridge. Which, you know, without a wing wall, you've got a box culvert, that's all you've got.
Right. Would you want to look at both options? Either let them choose either a concrete wing wall or a riprap? What would you call that? It's not really a wing wall anymore, so what do you call that?
Would you call it an apron, or is that not
the what's apron? The term for that? A riprap inlet and a riprap outlet?
Well, definitely riprap inlet.
Yeah.
On the one end.
But you really have to have an angle to have a little bit of an angle to build your roads out. You know, it's got the wing walls have to be.
Yeah, because you got a funnel. You weren't trying to funnel it again.
And who knows what that water's going to do as it rises, because it's going to start shifting its channel.
Mm-hmm. And they don't call that an apron?
No, the apron's the bottom.
Let me take care.
And you just add to your drawing that's, you know, that's where we want the wing wall, or an oversized wing wall, which, or, and or riprap.
I don't know if there's a term out there with a box culvert that they're determining there. If there is a design for that wing wall, specifications for that box culvert that they can design.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of the wing walls for a box culvert is really simple. You know, right. Your precast company will build it. They make that every day.
Well, I would just put wing walls with box culverts.
Okay.
And they can design that
they
their
can
own
design.
Wing wall.
Design.
Right, correct.
They'll design it. Yeah, that's easy to do. And they'll come in they'll come in pieces and they'll lock them together.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, but if you want riprap as an option,
I've had another riprap.
Okay, then now's the time to say
I
that.
Don't want riprap because the only thing with riprap is once water gets behind a rock and moves it once,
yep.
The rest of it's going to go.
Okay.
Eventually.
Okay.
Eventually.
All right. Now with this. Be correct for all culverts.
Yes.
Okay, I'll make that adjustment. All of them.
Unless anybody sees it different than I do, speak up.
No, I think that's good.
Yeah, it's a prevention.
Okay.
All right. Just put the riprap on top of the wing wall.
So what?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Just to stabilize.
You're going to have to support the
key.
Key.
Yeah.
So,
key poster.
Okay. So what is he, how's he saying it to FEMA?
Let's do this.
As a culvert or
they
as a bridge?
It's all here. They're trying to get around that. Have you got that wing wall?
I wrote it in the email.
Okay. Actually trying to get a little more pressure to clean that through.
I don't have
it. Don't you get a curl on the outlet?
A curl.
Water's going through.
Depending on how
whatever's inside the culvert or inside that channel really causes the water to eddy differently. So if a rock gets pushed through here or a tree or something, it'll change the...
But it's not a general concern. I mean, to me, wing walls on the outlet side never had much of a purpose other than holding banks
back. That's really what you're putting it here for, so hold the bank back, and then you can riprap the top, so the thing would have a little top.
Search the emails that came from Kirby Garage. I said the words.
Time the water gets way up here, the water slowed down.
Okay. So here's the hydrologic report. This is what's going to be in the RFP as part of the attachments.
Yeah.
I'd label it project one so we kind of be able to blur bearing what we're talking about.
I'm surprised you don't say anything about wind walls.
Here,
I could have scored it
too. The existing structure and all that replacement recommendations. So here is where they call it a concrete box. Mm-hmm. That's one of the recommendations. That's what I put in my RFP. But nowhere do they call this, any of this, a bridge. So the other option is a metal box. The other option was a corrugated metal plate pipe. And then this is our option C. Any similar structure that fits the site conditions could be considered. Any structure with a closed bottom should have bed retention sills and a variant invert as described above. But nowhere does it say, does it talk about a bridge. So that's why I was starting to convince that we shouldn't call it a bridge either.
I know. And tearing the old material out, they weren't bridges.
Right.
It's just that website that I showed you, they had it categorized.
Right.
They
did, yeah.
They had it as a bridge. It was a concrete structure.
Because I know the brook trout didn't work in that side for us, so that we send him out, we get a PL on the brook trout court too.
Right.
Or some aquatic insect.
So,
do you want me to bring the anchor?
Yeah, you could, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to find my.
I think you should be on both ends.
Yep.
Because you're only going to support the outlet even better. If you've got spent here and spent here, and we've got a ton of water coming through there, that's spending.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because you watch something go through a hole or whatever, it starts doing this when it gets onto the other side.
And it spends up.
Even on our place, when that water went over the top of our culvert stayed in place. Everything else after that looked like, you know, you took a bulldozer down through. That was the water.
And it doesn't take much. And it, you know, if you look at the dynamics of the speed of the water from where the vortices are versus the center of that channel, I mean, it could be tenfold different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's, that change is just by the second.
This bridge right down here had wind walls on it. Right here.
In and out.
Mm-hmm. Is Severance still part of Kirby?
That's why we don't drive through it.
Only
a half a mile down the brook roll.
Is that force
you
into concrete box culverts?
Where's Spalding Road? Is that part of
Kirby?
That's St. John's.
We're in need of bridge.
I had it before. Here's the problem. It doesn't save, or I try to save, but I don't know, it doesn't save it.
Right.
But only because I don't think the concrete lasting as long as you want it to. But I don't know why I think pipe cost at this point. You get it all pre-cashed, you get everything to set. Boom it in and it's done. Mm-hmm. Just gotta make sure the throat's big enough to handle it. You know, when you make it 2 foot wider, you know how much concrete costs. It ain't that much. Might as well pump it up and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
The real cost is play.
And the airplane with a pinch. Yeah. Your plan should be, I don't give a shit how they do it, but if you're gonna have one more. You should have a footing for it. Yeah, with the wing walls. So everything is attached to that foot.
Yep. One big monolithic.
Which you can't do on
box culverts on the way.
Correct. No. You have no way of tying it in to the greatest extent.
You usually can make wings for box culverts.
You can.
Yeah, but no, I'm not. All I'm saying is,
this is a great.
You got any kind of metal round, like metal arch, or whatever you want to call it. How do you tie it to a fucking wing wall to it?
But you end up having to cast concrete right to it, use it as part of your form.
Oh, pour the end of the pipe with concrete and tie it. Okay,
And then put rebar and stuff, but it's that sort of kind of defeats the purpose of the culvert because now all of a sudden you've got, if it ever needs to be.
You want to just go to the
culvert. Yeah, you might as well go to the culvert.
They put wings on that one by Rodney Wood.
Yeah.
On that bridge, Austin's issue. That's about 20 years ago.
So I guess it's kind of both.
What did they put in that for a bridge?
It starts off on
box culvert.
Box culvert.
I don't know if it's a bridge or
a bridge,
but it's just a concrete box.
Yeah.
So when it comes to
they might have poured that. They might have poured that.
Oh, the whole thing. Yeah,
I think so.
They built the bridge and built it.
They might have done that. I can't remember.
That's what I was just saying. If you're going to clean your
windows,
that's right up here. The paint section.
Let's go to the Ridge Road culvert number 4 and Rhinebrook Road intersection.
Once they have a way to
attach it.
1,500 feet of it. You should be up there,
Brook Road.
access on it. So this is the 1500 feet?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're gonna go, you're going 1500 from the intersection, correct? Going this way?
No, he said the top part up here is okay. It's gonna be mostly down here.
Oh, I see.
Is it?
The idea is the same.
Correct.
Let's.
That's what the town.
That's the town line, yeah.
So it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 culverts. Got the upper part of the actual.
Okay.
Is he here?
Yeah. So, there's four culverts.
We can hash this out all day. After the design of this, all we need to do is tell them we want way more.
Right here, let me put this up in the.
Oh, okay.
Now that location, I don't think you'll get it. Okay, so, Mike, this is the Brook Road. This is the town line right here, right? So you want to go from this town line?
Yep.
Town line, and Mike, you want to go, you're going to go about 1500 feet from this town line going south easterly. You've got culverts 1, 2, 3, and 4, correct?
Yeah,
those are the ones that you want covered. So whatever that comes out to 1500, I can measure it. That's where I'm going to kind of stop. That's what I'm going to include as an attachment.
Okay.
You know, with the RFP.
Yep.
Okay.
I think we're good with that, John.
The question I got is, they put in a, someone put in a call, but it's not adequate.
Right. Are they taking an NIL?
No, but it worked out last time we had one Monday, a week ago. That's got to be changed.
When did they do that?
It was done just to get traffic through there.
Oh, I see.
And it's not big enough.
What time
did you use? 11-foot culvert. It ended up down at my house.
Huh?
So.
What was the diameter?
It was 11-foot squash culvert.
Oh, okay.
That's where that came from?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that one?
Well.
It's almost at the town line on the Brook Road. Right there where you turn around or that other driveway went up. They use for an option as another.
So that'd be this last one then?
Yeah, would be the last one.
Well, exactly, because I mean, if you're calling for a box culvert at the beginning of this road, is how big?
We're saying 24 inches now.
No, I mean the box culvert that we're going to put in at this same brook.
Above. Yeah, on the ridge road.
14 feet.
And the next one's going to be bigger because you've got more
surface. Well, you can't put a smaller one, and at the end, when the same brook's going to come down 1,500 feet and cross the road again.
Makes no sense. You guys tell me. I'll put in whatever.
Just look at that.
We could do that with a bigger culvert. I would just put in a.
Is that where it crosses under the road, John? Is that
just after your snow machine trail.
Right.
Right here.
That happens too small at the end.
We're back to.
Well, I don't know, we put a 10-foot culvert in there, yes.
That's project number 4.
Yep.
That's Brook Road.
Provided it didn't get deep enough.
Again.
I'd add a 10-foot culvert.
On all of them?
No, just on that one.
Just the last one?
Just the last one.
The last one.
So I'm gonna say, three of them are gonna, you're gonna be 24-inch metal ones, right?
Yeah.
We'll build some wind walls out of big stone for that one. The washer belt's gonna take one, it'll run out of it.
Because that runs down and makes a turn to come in that, to change direction, turn that way, and then hits the other side and goes.
Turns again and heads down.
Yeah, well, it's going out.
Can't see what they tagged that at, but I'll know when I come back. I can move it back to my screen.
You actually lose his license.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to circle that last one and I'll make a note that. You said what size is that?
10-foot.
And that could be metal?
Yeah.
Minimum diameter.
10 by 20, John?
What's that?
10 by 20 culvert? Or you want to go 30?
It's got to go 30.
Sorry.
Wide enough to get.
Right, 30.
Yeah.
But.
20.
Metal.
Yep.
And that's cylindrical, right? Or is it?
Straight across.
Or is it oblong? Is it cylindrical or is it?
It's going to be cylindrical.
Okay.
Round.
Okay.
I think I'd go 10 by 40 on that.
Yeah, that's probably good.
That's fairly wide, but you can turn around.
But you said they took a squashed pipe out of there, right?
All the shit's out.
So the squashed pipes they put in there because there's ledge underneath. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Or is it deep enough to bury a 10-foot?
Well, there was an 11-1 in here before.
But you said it was squashed.
Yeah.
Squashed means it's, yeah, because there's not enough.
The beginning measure probably was wide.
There's ledge underneath, they can't bury.
Oh, I would just put on there, just permitting, you're going to have to. Maybe we get going in there. Maybe we may have to go with
plus or minus, plus or minus, would that?
Don't go minus.
Yeah, because you might get 9-foot. So you want minimum of 10-foot.
So they should know once they get there, if they can go down, and if they can't, they can get a squash on the same cubic foot. It'll handle the same cubic foot that they have.
So I put in there may need squash culvert.
So.
Or they might not need to see.
Yeah, I'd like them to decide.
Yeah, I'll let them decide.
So right now we'll say 10-foot by 40-foot metal culvert. But you want wing walls at that or riprap?
No.
Okay, we'll do riprap there as needed.
They could have done 12-foot squash.
I mean, the rest of that brick wash down 10 feet deep and then handle the ice.
With riprap inlet, correct?
Yes. Impossible outlet. Riprap outlet, too.
Okay, all right. I'll reword that a little bit, but generally, but then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a snapshot of that, you know, what you saw on the screen, and I'm going to highlight that and say that's going to be the 10-foot one.
Yep.
And then the other ones are going to be shown as being 24-inch. Yeah. So that goes with the narrative. Okay. All right.
I didn't realize that culvert was that big, right?
Yeah, it's big. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I went by the 11 feet, so.
When I walked down in there, my pick, I screamed parking dump trucks right there.
Yeah?
It was I walked down over the bank and snapped a picture looking up at it.
Right.
Impressive. There's a little chisel of water coming down through them. They step across three stones.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, it's got across the same brook, across the same road. So, yeah. Same mountain, so, the water.
Well, this one, right on the ridge.
You bet. You just stop on the other side of the Gorman drivers coming and funneling down through the
They call that V4.
Ginsburg.
That's tag as V4. That's the ridge.
Funnel that drops right into the area. So this, you know,
so is this the paved section?
75 acres of water.
This is right at the intersection of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that one, we're going to, let's see, that is project one.
Cheap insurance policy. That is in your car insurance. And what's in all these?
This is carpet number four. This one I say, this work consists of installation of a concrete box carpet or new bridge with related road repairs and guardrails. I can get rid of the word new bridge. Say, because you're gonna need to have some road on both sides of that repair too.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, just make it clear that on all these box culverts we want wind moss.
Okay, I'll do that.
Incorporated in the design.
All, yep. Okay. All right. And I added that right here, include concrete, wing wall, inlet, and outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll make a note of that for all culverts, concrete culverts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Box culvert number six at Barnesbrook. Let me pull that up. I'm going to have you help me find that. What's it up?
Is that a mouse?
This mouse, yep. So the mouse, yeah, you can, there's the wheel right there. You can zoom in and out. Yeah, or if you want, you can use pitch on the screen.
So Barnesbrook is only from the sand pile to the first culvert, and then
where's our bridge here?
And then it changes to
Hawkins Brook.
This is called Hawkins Brook.
It goes down through
Beeson. I think where we're working is past that. Is that, would you consider that Hawkins Brook? Because this is where the sand pile is, right here. And the key to these culverts,
big ones, they need to mark. Where they come together, they will actually
I thought this book came over that past that bridge.
Yeah, I did too.
That brook is right here. It goes all the way down through. Our bridge is way over here. Hawkins Brook should go.
This is Hawkins Brook right here, and it shows that it comes together at that point. Closer to the road where it washed away, that would be considered Hawkins Brook.
Our bridge is actually over by a trip way, isn't it?
For the town hall road.
Correct.
Yeah. So is that what we're talking about here? You said it was a paved section, right? Are we talking about a paved section?
Yeah.
That's down.
This is right here.
This is the town hall road.
Right, this is the bridge.
Okay. So Matt, that is right here. That one's right here.
That's this one?
Or this one?
This one.
Yeah.
Under the D.
Under the D.
This is, let's see how it's tagged, number six. That matches that, number six.
Okay, so that's number six, yeah, yeah.
You want to call this a culvert, or you want to call it a bridge? So it's back to the same question.
Yeah, yeah, and you said in the H&H study, they called it a fog culvert. And Keith Worcester said that's okay, you can use that for the terminology.
Sorry. So Mike, are you good with how I explained the bidder? The bid, they want either concrete box option, and I can, I'll add the language about having green walls or any concrete walls.
What was option B? Or there was there one?
Yeah. Open arch.
Putting should be pinned to the bedrock to prevent undermining. So an open arch, bottom arch, so what is that something that's being poured? What is that?
I thought if it's an open bottom arch, I thought that would be metal. That's why I'm assuming.
The bottom of a buffer footing should be pinned to bedrock to prevent undermining.
I doubt if option B is going to cost less than option A.
Yeah.
Because pinning it down to the bedrock is going to be a process to do that.
I really think you should take that right out. Take that right out.
You want that out?
But it's in the H&H study, right?
Right, but you guys can pick and choose what you want.
Oh, you don't have to use.
No, you don't have to use any of these. I'm just giving the bidders and you guys options to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say we don't want to consider option B, well, then there's no sense in them wasting their time.
I would leave it in, and here's why. Because a state bridge inspector was concerned about that, Taylor, when he looked at it.
Well, all I can say is getting something to ledge is going to make it stay there way more than
if we don't,
anything else. But.
And so the design engineers need, if we waive that, and as Mike pointed out originally when we looked at that, you know, another heavy rainfall takes out whatever structure we have there if it's not pinned, possibly. So my recommendation, based on what Taylor said, that first August weekend after the flood, was that this needs to be locked in place.
I think we should leave it in there just to give us our option.
Okay.
And the design engineer will then look at it more closely than, you know, I mean, the A&R engineer is looking at the water flow.
Right.
Okay. So let's go to the hydrology report. This is project two.
I mean, my only question to some of this where there's ledge, how can they dig the brook down 2 feet? What do they do? Bring that back? Bring the brook up? The road up? Because a lot of these box covers have to be buried 2 feet into the brook.
Right, they gotta hammer it. But I don't know. I don't know what they would do. Well, here is if shallow bedrock is encountered, a buried structure may be difficult to install, just like you said.
Yep.
An open bottom structure with footings pinned to the bedrock may be desired.
Yeah.
Constructability.
There you go.
It is recommended that a subsurface investigation is performed and determine if an open bottom structure will be required for this crossing. Mm-hmm. So these are the options that they laid out, which is option A, concrete box. And then this was metal box, which we said, I think Mike, you and I said not to put in there as a metal box. And then option or an open bottom and open arch. Or A
any similar structure. That's kind of option C, which is, you tell us.
A little open-ended.
Yeah.
So should we take the metal box out?
Box in there.
Or is that still an idea of leaving it in there?
I don't have the metal box in there right now.
This is an A.
Oh, that's the, this is the A&R report.
Sorry, yep.
But do you want this?
Retention skills need to be added and filled as described for the concrete box above. The structure results in that, okay, so that retention skills.
Let their engineers do their thing, prove the point.
So obviously, if they're talking about bedrock, that came to the issue already, they already know something.
Sure.
So they must know that bedrock is pretty shallow there.
Mm. It is, because you can see it
okay.
on the road.
Okay.
After the bridge, you can see the bedrock.
All right. So I'm wondering, you guys should maybe look at this as another third option with an open bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not negate at least.
Basically, let the blind will people do what they're doing and put it on the table.
I kind of like that, how they're doing that, though, because it says on that option you're just talking about, bottom of abutment footing should be pinned to bedrock.
Yeah.
And do you still put wings on that?
To prevent undermining.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
You can do your wing walls at the same time when you do your footings for the thing.
Yeah, because you just want to protect it from going behind.
Yep.
The structure.
Well, I'm not against that, unless you've got an open bottom concrete box.
Nope.
Because they're going to pour a footing on each side, just like it's pretty much here now, with the wing walls.
Let them close it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And clip. Okay. All right, I'll leave you over there.
Then you can recast the structure to set on the footing.
I'm just going to pour the footing and then I've got to restructure to set it on.
You just have your rebar or your pins or whatever sticking up out of it and just set it right on.
And hold it on. I just don't like nothing to get attached or something.
Okay. Let's go to this one. Why don't you find the locations on that one?
This is
box cover number 15, Sheldon Brook. It goes over Sheldon Brook. What's it called? Town Highway 10.
That wing on his button back. Toward the place, right? All
right, that's, again, this one they call. They call it number 15. Which I call it number 13. But they have it designated as a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was a box called a concrete box culvert as well.
Yeah, it wasn't a bridge.
If you bring up that little box again, yeah. So if you read, it's a, see the type is a slab, the material is a concrete.
Okay, sectional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though it's a bridge, they do admit it's concrete, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. So we call it between mine. So here, this one, I put two options in there, which is structural plate pipe arch or a concrete box. Let's pull up the hydrology report.
Because right now it's just a big culvert, that's a metal culvert.
Yep.
By Mike's house. Okay.
There
Your options is a metal box, or a structural plate arch, or a concrete box, or any similar structures. The concern I have with anything that's metal is fabrication time.
Right.
Because that's a long lead right now. Concrete is not as a long lead. You know, the precast, there's enough vendors around that you can get it from. But anything that's steel related is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been, yeah.
I'd go to option A. Box culvert, and then, I don't know, structural plate pipe arch. I'm assuming that's a culvert.
Well, yeah, it's gotta be, I'm assuming it's a steel, and it's what basically it's open-ended, it seems like, right?
Right.
It's an arch?
Yeah.
Well, I like the box culvert option because of the wing walls.
Okay. You can eat one there. So don't go with the metal box?
I will, but that's my opinion.
Okay, that's what I did. I went with structural plate pipe or concrete. Concrete box. You guys good with that?
And it doesn't.
All in favor?
Yeah.
There's no.
Well, the problem with the structural plate pipe is there's no wing walls on that, right?
There's no wing walls on the box.
I'm sorry,
my bad.
But you guys can specify wing walls on anything.
Right, I think we should have whatever is being put in.
Should have all rooms should have wing walls. Okay.
Because that's pretty much what destroyed all our bridges.
Yeah, water got behind them or into them and just.
How bad is the big color down below?
And that's inlet and outlet.
Yes.
Or inlet. Yeah, we just got that brings that corner. 14, 12, 14. That rip wrap looked like it held up.
We already talked about. Yeah. Let's go to Ridge Road. Now, this is the one that I had a little bit more confusion on. And I'm going to see you.
Move the road a little bit.
Yeah.
How much difference is there in companies?
Big,
wise equipment.
Big, huge.
And the big companies probably the high bidder?
Yeah. Yes, okay.
And I don't know if Mike can pinpoint where it started at.
Okay, let me put it on the screen. Yeah,
stay away.
Put it on the screen.
Carriage time dollars.
You can tell me where to go, but you want to zoom and look. Actually, you know what? Let me show you what I did on this one. Go ahead.
So this right here is the sand pile.
Yeah.
Where it says Traction Road, that's where the sand pile
Right, so you're asking me where I measured from?
Yeah.
So it's beyond the sand pile. Are you on the bridge?
We're on the paved section now.
Right, so if your sand pile's here.
Yeah.
This is your corner.
Yeah.
So basically right here, where the bank was, that me and John measured, you got guardrails here right now.
So is that the case?
So this is what we just talked about on Town Hall Road. That's this bridge here. So now we've crossed over to the paved section. This is the sand pile, and this is the paved section.
So here's your corner right here.
Yeah.
Ledge is right here. Right,
yeah.
John? Ledge is here. This is the corner right here. That washout is pretty much in this corner section right here.
Yep.
Both sections of this side.
Yeah, up a little higher.
Up a little higher?
Yep.
In here?
Yep, off the end of the guardrails and up towards the center.
So that section is considered Barnes Brook, and this is Hawkins Brook from this point.
Right.
You keep moving it on.
Sorry, I'm trying. I can't see very well.
So I don't believe any of our work is going to be done near Hawkins Brook.
No.
Okay.
I thought Hawkins Brook was way down where Wittesec just did their work, and you had a brook that came down off that bank. Remember that?
Yeah.
I think that's Hawkins Brook down there.
Where's the upslope for that ledge that you have to remove, the white, the ship that lean over?
Right here, I believe.
That's uphill?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the road is right here, so it's going to be on this side, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's on this side. This is your brook side.
Wherever this corner is right here, it's pretty just above the corner is where we're going to set that over.
Your road curves like this right here.
Yep.
So your embankment, the upslope is over here, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the 300 feet of upslope you want to take out.
Yes.
Then you have 200 feet down here that needs to be restored.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, and that goes down about 65 feet down to the brook.
Correct.
Okay. And that guardrail, how many linear feet is that guardrail?
200.
That's a 200, okay.
Yeah, I
know. And that gets replaced.
Yep.
Not replaced, reused. Okay. So it's right in this corner then. Okay.
Yep.
All right, so.
And that would have to be big rock at the bottom and then step it back up.
So how they want to design it.
Okay, I'll
remember how they design them.
Yep. Okay. All right.
We got the material coming
out. I'll have to redo that on my sheet because I went down a little bit too further south. Because what I was looking to do is the picture that you sent me.
Yep.
I saw the cliff, you know, the upslope, and then around the hill. So if you were to go back, you'd be like a right-hand turn.
Yep.
Around the corner.
If you go around.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So just about where it goes around to the right, we took a knob off of that to create line of sight for the one-way road. And he didn't even have to blast it. The excavator just tore it off.
Okay. That's my next question is, it's excavatable, right? You don't have
to.
We don't know.
What kind of ledge is it? It looks like
it's
all fractured.
Yeah, it's all layered, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks layered. So that'll come off easy then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the landowner we spoke to were 100% in favor, other than just seeing where the spot is.
So
the
stuff
below that is good. We don't need to do anything.
So the spot that was repaired down below that's narrow, is that going to get widened out at all?
No, it's done.
That's done.
Both of them washouts are done.
Okay.
All right. So the right of way.
That makes sense, yeah.
When would that be completed with the neighbor? Because that can't be touched.
Oh, I didn't talk to him, so I mean that hasn't.
Because it has to be deeded in there.
Mm-hmm.
So
deeded back to the town.
Back to the town. And are you guys offering them anything in exchange?
Hadn't.
Is there a price? Is there just?
They offered it to us.
They offered it to you guys. Okay.
So
without any
just
obligation.
Needs to be
okay.
In their conversation with me, there was no obligation.
Okay.
They just kind of wanted to know where the new bank was going to be.
She was just in here and she asked, like, how much of the property you're looking to move the road over, and he told her probably 20 feet.
Okay.
Is the marker still up in there, John?
We're at 14 now.
What's that?
On the hill, you put an upper marker?
Yeah. It's not. I don't know how much.
Okay.
This also doesn't, if we get into blasting, it changes everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Because they got.
We we lose artesian wells here.
Probably not an option.
It's not really, the hammer is the only way out of it.
Yeah. That looks hammerable, I think.
I think it is, it's vertical.
Yeah.
Well, the way I look at it, if it's ledge and you can move what's on top, you don't have to move everything on the bottom. Just put the damn road with the damn ledge. Where are you gonna go?
But then, aren't you creating a
rise? No, bring it down to what grade needs to be.
Oh, I see, okay.
I don't foresee a problem in that.
Okay.
You know, I think we gotta add a culvert extension onto that or something like that. Other than that.
So we would need to contact the lawyer to draw up this deeded thing?
I think there's a whole procedure with acquiring land from a resident. I think I've already got it from a League of Cities and Towns.
So you think you have something that you could send to Clark and say?
It's not eminent domain, is it?
No.
Okay. No. Just people that hate that word.
We don't.
All right.
That's going to be two separate beds, moving the road over and fixing the bank, or is that all one bed?
All one bed.
One bed.
You guys don't want to separate that?
No. One bed.
Why don't you want to separate it?
Why should I?
Because it might cost $300,000 to fix what we've got washed out, if they can. And it might cost another $400,000 in the bank on the right side. If we don't have the money to do it, they can fix the bank on the left side. Why not separate the two?
Because the bank on the left side didn't make it through the last time.
Because maybe it wasn't designed right.
It was designed right at the time.
By who?
I don't know who designed it. I didn't live
here. We didn't have a designer to design that.
Yeah, we had a grant a few years prior to that, and we did what the bank stabilization was an A&R design for
it. Which was absolutely fine until this thing hit.
Right, but we didn't have no 5 to 6 foot wrap down the bottom.
You know, what you could do is in the time of the negotiation, you know, let's see what the numbers come out. And if it comes to like, oh my goodness, this is crazy, you go back to the contractor and say, hey, we're considering possibly only doing a portion because we can't afford, what's the cost difference on, what's the value of removing the ledge and winding the road versus just doing the embankment?
Right.
But then it's gonna...
What about just putting it in the bid that way to request to have quoted either way?
Well, you said
you got to split out.
Well, you could, but then so you're stuck with a one lane in that area all the time, forever.
Until it's fixed.
Until it's fixed.
The bank on the left side.
Yeah.
But then you won't have to go back to them a second time and say, you know, we've chosen to do this. Or, you know.
Well, you can't. Well, you wouldn't do one without the other, though, would you? Wouldn't you want to? If you're going to remove that ledge, the purpose of removing that ledge is to widen the road.
Well, we still got to fix the bank regardless.
But
the
bank has how much repair to the bank would be necessary. If the road stays in the same place, then it's just bigger riprap at the bottom.
You got to fix the bank regardless.
Right. But how much, what standard you fix it to with the road being 10 feet over farther would change that.
Kirby Town Clerk, I don't know.
I'm not a builder, can't
tell
you. No more about me. The swale pad was originally designed here, two feet
in the first place.
And that's all Mike's asking, is just set it up to two different, so you can do one or the other or both.
But you're going to use your ledge from that cut.
What I met with Ben from A&R there, the bottom of the brook did not have big enough riprap. Once you lose the bottom, your top's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it all starts from the bottom and works its way up. If you don't have big enough riprap on the bottom to hold that from on the top, it's going to leave anyway.
And you're going to have to haul that in anyways.
You're going to have to dig that road down and put that great big riprap so you can sit out on the bottom of that and build up. It's all going to be quite a process.
But we did that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, was it five years prior?
Yeah, I believe so.
You dug that road right down and put five, six riprap down there? And the other thing we discussed down there, and you did discuss being ledge.
Yeah.
Was, actually, I talked to Clark, Mike, from what I said about that.
Yeah.
And he said, well, why don't you just pour a footing, kind of footing down there, and pour some of that on a concrete wall, and then build it up from there. So it's attached to something rather than just floating.
Yeah.
If the ledge is down there so that you don't have to, don't dig it out or blast it out or hammer it out. Just
pour your footing on the mat, pour it into that, build the concrete wall, then build it up from there.
That all depends on A&R if they allow us to do it, right, John? I mean, we did what they told us to do when we fixed that banking. We went through the state, we got a grant from the state, and they said you have to do the A&R analysis. It wasn't Ben Mathers, it was the person before him. Came and that was his recommendation, yes, Ross. And that was his recommendation, and that's what we did.
Right.
And it didn't hold this particular storm.
Right.
So I think what Mike Clark is saying as far as concrete, I mean, we really have to pass it through A&R first to see if they'll let us do it. Because to do any work in the brook, you have to have their permission.
Once you get the brook.
Yes. Which would have to be anyway, whether
it's
concrete
or gravel.
But we could. I mean, we could pursue it. We could leave it, like Matt said, as a one-lane bridge for now and pursue it a little farther.
So basically what you're telling me is we can't do anything with that bank until we talk to A&R anyway.
Right. And we do have another grant, Vermont grant, coming available. I have to submit it by the middle of April. I mean, I could look into it. We used that grant money to build it the first time.
Right. So can we separate the two projects, and that's a grant and that's a FEMA funded over here? And I thought we couldn't mix the grant money with the FEMA.
We can't. Right. We have to pick one or the other. We have to pick one or the other. But if you're thinking of going a different way besides blasting that ledge, going a different way.
I don't know. I wasn't looking at a different way to go around it. I was just looking at two separate bits.
Yeah. Well, we can do that. And if I
don't. Yeah, I don't know what that project's going to cost.
If I don't put it in for a grant this year, there's always next year.
You guys don't want it as two separate bits, put it as one. I'm just voicing my opinion here.
Yeah.
I put in just a note, and we can ask for a cost breakout.
Yeah.
For ledge removal and keep the road and embankment work together.
The problem with Jeff's talking about is that slope is so steep the way it is. Unless you move the road over anyway, I don't give a shit about what you put in there, it ain't going to work.
Okay.
Right. You might as well leave it as bid number one and just put it in the project.
Okay. Otherwise, you're into, if it's that steep, you're into like soil nailing and all that stuff. And gunite to stabilize that, right?
I wasn't around when they stabilize that bank the first time.
Yeah, that becomes a pretty big deal then.
Just moving the road over, as I was under the assumption by seeing part of it just torn off with an excavator bucket, you don't know how far in you're going to get away with that or whether you have to hammer something.
Remember Stockbridge 107 on the Riverside, they helped stabilize all that?
Oh, yeah.
But it took.
Because we know
the Daniels did that, and it took them at least a year and a half before they even got to it. But once they got to it, they got done pretty quick.
Yeah.
But it took a while to just get engineered and get it figured out.
Well, I think the whole point of moving the road over so that bank wasn't so steep to begin with, right?
Cut the grade work.
So.
Does that get you down to an acceptable grade movement?
Right.
15 feet?
Right. Hopefully,
Yeah.
It's going to be better than what it was.
Well, I was going to say anything's better than what I'm saying.
Right.
But you want to leave it as a single project? You want
to leave it as a single project?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want
to. And first, we need to get moving on getting a deed to get that property deeded back to the town.
I'll talk to her.
And actually,
you see what Aaron got
for the bank.
Right. And I know Emery's deeded their driveway back to the town. That's why John has some sand halfway out.
If they're willing to give us some space here, I would see how much space they're willing to give us.
Yeah.
Slope the bank back
maybe a little further.
Well, we can go this way, and we can go this way, and the one is going to be less over here. If they want to give us 20 feet or 30 feet or whatever, it's just going to give us a little more working area on the bank on the left side.
Or maybe even.
That ledge right there has always been an issue.
Notice the beginning of that ledge is stepped a little. When you first start around that corner, there's almost like a little flat spot there.
Do you want to cause breakout, though, just for informational purposes?
I would like one. I don't see why.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
I was going to say, can't hurt to ask.
No. Yeah. You can always say no, but.
Agreed.
All right. I'll put a note in there for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is called Ridge Road, too, that section?
That's Ridge Road.
That is called Ridge, okay. Because
GPS says
I got it.
The breakdown, the pictures and stuff, there's one's page section. Yeah. That's the paved section of Ridge Road.
Okay.
That's the only class one that we've got.
Okay. All right. I think I have everything covered. You guys see anything else? Anything else that needs to be noted, altered, modified? So what I'm going to do is just let you know is I'm going to put some of the pictures that you gave me, mm-hmm. I'm going to put that into the thing. Well, actually, while you're here, do you have your laptop here?
No, but okay. I can use the office computer.
I want to look at Smartsheet.
I want you to look at Smartsheet.
Yeah, to be clear on everything, so every box, culvert, bridge, whatever you want to call it, is one of our options, right? On every one of these bridges,
it is
a box, culvert.
It is.
With wing walls.
Yes.
And then we have a second option of...
And the other two are cut and dry. Well, the road repair stuff doesn't have issues such as that.
Right. I think right. Most of the places you can put a crane except the only touch box that we did in here.
Alright, sounds good. I think I'm all set, guys. I'm gonna go through Smartsheet with Marla. And here's my Smartsheet. This is what I was talking about. You see these things, right?
Yeah, but they're all grayed out.
They're all grayed out?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to do is, if I'm here, I want to test out a couple of things. So let's just go ahead and...
Jeff, are you grandma?
Sorry.
I didn't know if you could
get
a care of the
line.
Sure.
I didn't finish
your
meat.
We ain't
done.
Oh, you're not done?
Oh, no,
it was. Probably should have a secretary in there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you, Matt.
He's going to show them how to link them to
it. Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out.
We need to add a pan. Probably left it over there on the table.
Ready for dental coverage?
Reorganization of the board. Don't change anything?
Is this where it comes from? Other than this, I don't recall hearing anything about reorganizing.
You have to every year after the town meeting.
After town meeting.
So you can either be elected road commissioner and leave me as is and leave Keith where he is and you stay where you are.
I have no problem with it.
Perfect.
Okay.
We'll leave it as is. Yep. Make a motion, we leave the board as is.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
So more. Dental coverage.
Okay, so we had talked before about how our employee policy says that John is supposed to be getting dental coverage and he never has. I contacted Vermont League of Cities and Towns, and they actually do a Delta dental plan that we could add him to, which would be cheaper than getting our own setup. Basically, they would pay 100% of diagnostic and preventative, 100% of basic restorative, and 50% of major
up to a $1,500 a year total for $54.06 a month.
Up to a $1,500 a year total is what they're willing to pay?
Yes. His maximum deductible would be $75
mm-hmm.
for the year, and they would pay up to $1,500 worth of work every year for $54.06 a month, which is $648.72 a year, which is like half the price of 1 month's health insurance.
I was going to say, I can't get it cheaper than that.
I thought it was very reasonable.
$135 a month as it is now.
You know, I pay at Webb's $2 a week for both my wife and I.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
10 times better. Not, actually, I think it's the same as that. Delta Dental. $2 a week.
No shit.
Wow.
Cheap.
But we can offer him the dental.
Yeah, agreed.
So I make a motion that we go through the Delta Dental.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So move. It is 50. It's
and
reasonable.
There's no wait time.
It's not
either.
Reasonable. At well.
Just use it immediately once all your paperwork.
$2 a week.
I'll get oh, for how many?
Hundreds
of people.
Oh, I know.
Oh no, but I mean still. Yeah. $135.
Okay, next select board meeting April 7th. Unless we have to have a.
Okay.
Actually, we have an AOT meeting.
We have AOT on the 18th.
On 18th. At 8 o'clock.
Thanks for the reminder, Jeff.
At 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Yep. Week from today.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Don't move.
All right. Now I got it.
Whoever leaves fire truck up there. Well, I would take you home if she was going to be a while, but I got to come back anyway. So I just was trying to keep you from being bored sitting here.
No, she's supposed to be getting. I bet she was going.
Thank you.
Okay.
Aaron's making coffee.
Everybody's burnt out at this point. Oh, goodness gracious, it's mind-boggling.
Yep. How long have you lived in Kirby?
So we bought the place in 2000, so this will be 25 years. I was stationed at the Pentagon. We moved from the Pentagon to Germany.
Okay.
So
what were you doing at the Pentagon?
Army staff. Okay. So part of, Army staff. So I was doing, actually we were doing preliminary work at trying to figure out how to protect the Army's networks. So cyber defense.
Oh, okay.
That's a long time ago. And sort of other stuff. Anyway. Then I went to Germany. We did the deployments. We supported deployments into Iraq. Mm. And then I retired. So we came back here on Veterans. We actually arrived on Veterans Day 2003. And we got back to an empty house, no furniture. And then we started for the next 23 years rebuilding this old house.
Have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
Which is called the Money Pit.
Classic. Absolute classic.
So you must have bought one of those old.
It's not too old. No. It's new old. Yeah, so it's at least, it's not too bad. But, it was lived in by a family for 30 years before we bought it.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things that were, they had done in a rush because they were trying to build it in the season.
Yeah.
If you need help with that cash flow, just give me a call.